Blessings in loving oneness, and welcome to Freedom Flame Radio. I am Eve Kerr, your host, and my guest co-host this week was also on last week's show. He's returned this week to continue the great cosmic conversation we initiated last time, to share the higher understandings the archangels have imparted to him, to share with the world through his books, writings, and inspirations. Please welcome Sufyan Chowdhury. Welcome back, Sufyan.
Hi, Eve. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming on. It's great to have you back. We didn't get a chance to really hear the rest of your story from last week about Archangel Uriel. So we have a great lineup, and I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of that story, and I'm sure that all of our listeners are too. And I'd like to just take a moment to give some gratitude to everyone, because I just have this really, this very deep expanding gratitude these days, and my heart just feels like it's really gushing everywhere. It's just for all life, but for BBS, for this beautiful cosmic opportunity to blaze Freedom Flame on the air. So thank you, Doug, Don, and Deborah, and Lily. Thank you so much. And I don't know the rest of the crew there, but I love you all. Thank you so much. I know you work so hard, and I'm so grateful for all your support. And to all the listeners of Freedom's Flame Radio, and all those tuning in for this broadcast, for my mom, she's amazing. She's not listening, but she's listening on the ether. She doesn't have a computer, but I think I'm going to hook her up this year with a computer. And I'd also like to give gratitude for my regular co-host, Anthony, who's, you know, he's just so wonderful. He's so supportive of all of these shows and broadcasts, and I'm so grateful for him and for all God life. And I'm really grateful for you, Sufyan, for coming back and for sharing these great understandings. So if you'd like to take a moment to share, that would be great, and then we can kind of go right into it.
Sure. I'd also just really love to thank BBS Radio just for just providing for this station and everything that you're doing on here, and, you know, of course, for you for hosting this show. But also just all my readers out there, for anyone who's gone through my online materials, read my book, World of Archangels, a really big thank you for tuning in as well.
That's awesome. And I'm sure, I know that everyone's grateful for your materials too, because there's such amazing information in there. And before we go into that and before we continue to hear the rest of your story, I'd kind of like to start out. We usually do like an invocation, but this week I felt perhaps we could begin by experiencing the sound of light, which I feel a good friend of mine, a wonderful musician, he's really a an interdimensional sound alchemist. He's more like in those realms. And his name is Yasos, and which he conveys, and he transmits exceptionally well in this piece called Crystal Fountain of Light. So in this way, we can create a segue into that beautiful harmony that we've been sustaining. It's our continual stream of life that makes our being. So just allow the music to refresh you, like you might be standing in it or by the fountain itself. It's only just over 2 minutes long, and we're going to play that, and then we'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
We're back. And there was a little mix-up on the song there, which is not a problem. That was supposed to be our intermission song. And that was Yeshua by 2002. So maybe we'll get to Crystal Fountain of Light in just a little while. But anyway, that brings us into harmony anyway, because that's, I mean, such a harmonious piece. And music, especially really harmonious music, has been really, really instrumental on my path. And I've used many things to sustain the harmony in my being and world. Though I've felt the intangible presence guiding me in all things, it was really the masters who pointed out to me the tangibility of the presence and to begin qualifying those purely joyful emotions, feelings of love, with the understanding that it is the presence pouring forth through me and us all. It's the eternal life force energy current, you know, that big cosmic full body yes that we've been talking about. The masters, however, have helped me to see these truths in a very tangible way through the experiences they have guided me to work with and through. In this way, it's like you have a real best friend who is so high in frequency that you can't see them with your physical eyes, yet you can see them with your mind's eye. Just like you could see the fairies and the elves and the gnomes, devas, elemental beings, angels, and all these types of light beings when you were a child, what has also been termed as, you know, imaginary friends. What these harmonics do is they open the door to that reality once again so that you can see what's really going on in the universe instead of just looking up at the sky with your physical eyes and wondering what's there or what kind of activity is occurring. And as I wanted to share on this last week as well, I'd not really known the harmony in my being and world until I reconnected with Saint Germain just a few years ago. Their teachings far surpass anything I've seen on this earth, and they truly instruct you every step of the way to your eternal freedom. It is about applying it, though, and it does take a certain level of willingness, a sincere heart, those keys to victory that we talked about, and the uninterrupted harmony, which is the third key. So to further sum up the series I did, which Sufjan came in on, the third portion of last week, which is uninterrupted harmony. So, Sufjan, I have a question. We could start with you could maybe continue with your own meeting with Archangel Uriel, since we didn't get to hear that whole story last week, and some other things that maybe you might want to elaborate on with regard to how they work with you. Would you like to share with the rest of your story?
Yeah, I'd be really interested to. Now, just on the, you know, the presence of harmony and vocals and all these really wonderful feelings we get from songs as well. Something which I found out really early on is that when I started communicating with angels and archangels, their voices, their natural languages are through this harmonic songs. It's not actually through, you know, regular words that we're kind of talking about, like through right now. So when we're actually on a certain level of realization, our body's vibrating those harmonies that we're listening to and feeling and also experiencing in the moment as well. And I think that's why with certain songs, like, you know, even the one we just heard, it kind of really goes through your soul, resonates with you, because it's almost communicating with you on a level that isn't ordinarily accessed here in the physical plane. Now, my personal experiences with the archangels, I kind of got into, you know, a little bit about what happened in my previous embodiments last week, and I really want to kind of tie that into in this lifetime too. And, you know, before I actually met the archangels, I was kind of just going through a regular life. I wasn't really delving that hard into spirituality. In fact, I was working for a large commercial organization. I was doing the 9-to-5, commuting to work, going through just normal everyday practices. And it kind of hit a turning point one day when I started feeling the need to really start delving into the spiritual world. Now, at the time, I didn't know anything about it. No, there's practically nothing there. You know, I read a couple books, delved into a little bit of religion. I kind of heard a few things, saw a few movies, but nothing on the level where I was really proactively using anything on a daily basis. And I was actually sitting there meditating one night. And the reason why I was meditating was after work, it was something like 11 o'clock at night. And my mind was just completely shot out. And I was tired, completely drained from life. And all of a sudden, I felt something walking into my room. Something that initiated a response in my body that I'd never really felt before. And I suddenly saw something standing in front of me. I was talking about a completely dark room. There's no lights on at all. And I could see something standing in my living room looking at me. And at first I was shocked. I was like, you know, what is this thing? And I was kind of trying to tune into it to try and get some kind of idea of who or what was visiting me, if at all. And I kind of closed my eyes and I started meditating upon this being who was standing in my room. And in that second, it's like a powerful explosion of emotion and love skyrocketed my body to such a level that I nearly fell off my chair. I was just wavering through this unconditional love and powering through consciousness to such a level that I was on the borderline of tearing up in just this joy and harmony. And I was sitting there and he answered my thoughts and he said, "I am you. I am your guardian angel." And there were the very first words that Archangel Uriel ever said to me, "I am you." And I didn't really understand that at the time. I had no idea. I thought, you know, is this a mental perception? But those were the unlocking words throughout, you know, every single other spiritual realization that I came across, is that we were all one in the same God beings traveling throughout creation. And he answered my question in the most perfect and hidden way. "I am you." He didn't say, "I am Archangel Uriel." He said, "I am you," because he wanted to bring out that we are all God, that I had to undergo this realization and that our names were just labels, just, you know, calling commands for other people to recognize us. And so my experience with the archangels when they first, you know, I started interacting with Archangel Uriel was that he would come towards me mostly in the physical plane. And then over the course of my awakening, he would start to interject and come to me from the next plane upwards, the next dimension. It started coming through to me in a higher plane, just almost try and drag me out of the physical world and start communicating with him on an interdimensional spiritual level. So that's pretty much the story of how I started communing with the archangels.
Wow. That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And I know there's more. There's so much more there. I could feel it. You also, let's see. My goodness, that took me to so many different places.
I tell you why. we have talked to on a great deal, and like that is just like the introduction to my.
It really is. It really is. And
it's
you know,
the introduction.
It's. And I get this, you know, and when you speak, I have this experience where it's coming in on the multidimensional levels because, you know, there's different things. And I know that, you know, we've connected on those levels too. And it's really, really vast. So I'm trying to, you know, it's this topic today is about, you know, transcending life itself. It's how the macrocosm transcends life itself through the microcosm. And I could just I really have a tangible experience of this more and more as I go along. And it's almost as if like sometimes like I wake up and I almost don't even want to sit there and do calls and I just kind of want to go into the silence and I just want to, you know, expand and expand and expand and really start bringing in the oneness and experiencing it more and more. Like I want to get off the paper. It's like the training wheels, you know? And the application, though, it's really, really important to have that the sure footing of what you're doing with your work when you're transcending. You know, we're talking about transcendence. And all of this work, you know, these beings come to us. Like I started working with Saint Germain. He told me that the three-step meditation would be, you know, I'd really, really benefit from that. And boy, did he nudge that one. And I couldn't even wait for the book. The book wasn't available. It's in Unveiled Mysteries, pages 10 to 11. And so I found it online. I think it was ascension-research.org that I found it on. And I gave kudos to his website. They have an extensive amount of things available on that website. It's amazing. But that's where I found the three-step meditation. And G, as I call him, he said, don't wait. Go and just, you know, find, just print it out and start. So he wanted me to start right away. He was pretty emphatic about it. So I started. And within a week, like, you know, I could see him. I could see him standing in my aura. When, you know, I was doing the meditation, I could actually feel his presence. I knew that he was there, like, working with me. It was almost as if he was holding space for me to, you know, stay clear and download this, you know, this activation, you know, because it's a big activation with this three-step meditation. It's actually like you're feeling your light body almost like for the first time, or you're feeling the tube of light around you. It's like you're feeling the energy of your presence, and you're actually able to see the light of your presence, you know, that fine crystalline white energy that you can kind of see in the air sometimes during the daytime. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's like that crystalline energy. That is like the tube of light. That's the presence. That's, you know, that's the life force. So and electrons is what I'm getting, is that those are the electrons. So you can see this. This is what my experience of the three-step meditation is I was able to see the electrons all around me. And you do that by actually, you know, holding the visualization of it. So, you know, we all start somewhere. So that was my starting. And so Archangel Uriel came to you and you were meditating and he helped you to expand. It was like he held space for you to expand your awareness. Like, whew.
Yeah. And so the way they work, right, when you're on a certain level where, let's say you haven't really developed your intuition, you haven't really developed your third eye, you're not really, you know, a hardcore psychic practitioner, they come to you on a level which you can understand. So in the beginning, I had a lot of synchronicities just with movies and books and articles and online websites about how to try and build a foundation to start speaking with them. And, you know, because it would be really difficult to suddenly just from ground zero just jump up and start, you know, communing with archangels on an intergalactic level. You know, when I first started, it was kind of like, okay, I had this massive feeling and this massive nudge to go and read this particular book. And out of that whole book, they only wanted me to read like one certain passage in there about oneness. And then, they would, you know, I want to go see a movie somewhere. And then out of that whole movie, they just wanted me to deck out that I had to learn how to do some specific exercise in meditation. And through what was already here, through the already physical tools, they were kind of picking and placing, you know, where to go and how to actually just build up all of those bottom levels so you can start walking upwards. And I think that kind of happened with you as well, you know, where he kind of guided you towards unveiled mysteries, because that was something you could read. It was something like that was there, that was tangible, that you could just, you know, really start delving into. And I had like very similar experiences in the beginning. And I think as they teach you, as they, you know, kind of help you grow, your communication goes from a level of just physical things to, you know, kind of physicality, spirituality, to all of a sudden you're communicating on this really, really intense spiritual level where it's coming through thoughts, feelings, visions, and everything as a package where, you know, I just wanted to bring across how I think when people first start out, right, they just want to get on that level where they're speaking to God and they're speaking to the archangels like tomorrow, that's it, you know, I'm going to be there. Where they don't understand, like, there's a level of meditation and practice that comes through deconstructing all of that stuff that's hindering and limiting that connection from taking place. And, you know, and I think here in the physical world, right, there's a lot that does that. There's a lot to distract us. There's a lot to build up and kind of block us from really getting to that level where you can just communicate with the archangels. You know, in a perfect world, we should be born with the ability to not just communicate with the ascended masters and archangels on this powerful level, but with each other as well. But we're not taught that. We're just taught how to communicate with each other by speaking. And maybe at some point in life, maybe by feeling. And this is, I guess, some of the significance of I guess, communicating with the archangels is that they teach you how to communicate the way we should be communicating rather than the way we were taught to communicate. You know what I mean?
Precisely. And these are the understandings that I have as well. And you are absolutely spot on when you say that the masters have worked with me in a much similar way. It's very, very, it's really synonymous, very parallel, because they cherry pick. It's kind of like, go here, watch that movie. It's like, why am I watching this? I don't have any interest in this. You know, it's something, but there's like one segment in the movie where it's like, oh, wow, I've been waiting for, that was so profound. It's like this one moment, this one thing. It could be just like a two-minute thing out of an entire hour-and-a-half movie. But it was totally worth it because now it's like, wow, where else would I have gotten that revelation? Who else could have brought that to me? And the same thing for books. They've given me, I have 10 out of the 20 volumes. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 11, 13, 14, 17, and 19. And so I read Unveiled Mysteries all the way through. I read half the Magic Presence. By the time I was halfway through the Magic Presence, G wanted me to get volume 4. I skipped right over 3. He took me right to 4, Ascended Master Instruction. And I didn't even read that all the way through. He had me jump around. I would get page numbers in my head, and I'd go, okay, and I'd open right to it, and it would be like, oh my God, it would be exactly what I needed. It was so, personally customized for me. I went, this is just magnificent. I'm just so astounded. I wonder how many other people really know about this and how, my God, is anybody else working with the Ascended Masters like this? And, I really wanted to share my experiences and really help people to, it's like, wow. And the acceleration is so astounding. I mean, you just watch yourself surpass yourself. You stop recognizing who you were a week ago or even just a day ago. It's like you're consistently upgrading and upgrading. And it's a natural process as you just allow it and work with it. So I thank you for bringing that up because that's really a very profound thing for me. And I've not found anything else like it. And there was a point where G told me to put down the rest of the books. Like, you don't need anything else. You don't need to read anything else. Stay on this. And I've also read a lot of the Bridge to Freedom books by Geraldine Innocente. They focus more on cosmic law and the teachings and the applications of alchemy, which is a really amazing, amazing teaching that they brought forth, amazing dispensation, and they are the white books with the gold print, if anyone's interested in looking those up. One I really like in particular is the Angelic Kingdom, and it really goes into the divine plan of how things have really been intended. At least these are part of cosmic law, understandings that we were given. And it talks about how the angels and humankind and the elementals are supposed to, come together and work together harmoniously hand in hand to really create and perfect the earth. I have an understanding and an awareness of some of these aspects of what I'm supposed to do for my own divine plan fulfillment. And I know that that's a big part of it for me anyway. And I know that there's so many people who really resonate with the angels and the elementals, and they really like right now, there's a lot of elemental activity. People are really, really, they're re-recognizing, I guess, the elves and the fairies and the mineral kingdoms and, the environment. They're really starting to work with the beings of the elements now. And I'm seeing that more and more just, everywhere. Just everyone's very, they're aligning themselves, I guess realigning themselves with nature. And I think that's a really important thing because in order for us to transcend life, I think we have to really come back to our true knowing of who we really are first, and then we can recognize that what we've been participating with has just been limitation of what we have or what we are intended to do, who we are intended to be, and what we're intended to do to create and expand more of that, that perfect God life, that force that's coming through us. Because it can create said to beauty and perfection. It just hasn't been too apparent in the physical realm. What are your feelings on that? Do you feel like that kind of perfection is attainable here? And, have the archangels given you any insights on how we can, you know, further transcend things like limitation and come home to who we really are and live freely and expand that. Do you want to share anything about that?
I think that we as human beings, or more accurately, we as the idea of human beings, we are currently on a level that, you know, we're unperfected, but we can perfect ourselves. But in saying that, we only think we're unperfected because we're living in a reality that only anchors imperfection in our minds. Now, when I first started meditating and started interacting with a host of higher beings, this reality that I believe that we are living within was completely set up as a learning environment to try and get us back to perfection. It's almost like the best possible way to go back to creator level God self. However, while we're down here, it's like we just become so distracted by absolutely everything, you know, everything in life, from the drama to other people to, you know, our own work, what we're doing, what we're doing, who we believe we are, that we almost lose touch with basically everything we came here to do. I believe that there is a systematic level of perfection that we can attain, no matter what level of God self-realization we're at, that we have access to, you know, really completing ourselves on a level where we're able to sustain that harmony, able to sustain that unconditional love, rather than just kind of, you know, speed it up and get all that momentum and then just kind of crash again like one or two days later. And I believe that will come through transcending the idea of being a human being. I think that as long as we want to limit ourselves, we want to hinder ourselves and say to ourselves that this is everything there is, right? This is our life right now. That's it. As long as we keep our mind frame limited in that, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult to want to move on. And I guess that first initial spurring of activity, that want, that need to change, is going to come from within. And I think that on some level, there is a level of perfection that we can attain, but we're going to have to move forwards. We're going to have to move higher in order to attain that level of perfection. My own experience is that if you can't achieve a very high vibratory rate while also trying to achieve lower vibratory actions on Earth, it's almost like you're going to have to really make the decision to commit yourself to who you are and what you're doing, and really go one way or the other. And when you do make that decision to start moving higher and start really trying to attain that perfection, physical ideals like, you know, everyday life, you know, a normal job, trying to raise a family, all of those almost become secondary. Your primary purpose is almost trying to feel these ecstatic joys, this incredible unconditional love that you should already be feeling, right? And you know, it's very addictive. You just keep going towards it, and you keep wanting to bask yourself in more and more and more and more of it. And as a result of that, you start leaving behind and you start pulling up all these anchors that you've dropped into physical life. It's almost like, you start set sailing. The wind's blowing you along and you just move. And the more you surrender to that, I think that the faster you move and that the more you can achieve, rather than if you try to control it. And I think that idea of divine surrender is probably one of the most profound things that we can do in order to achieve that level of perfection. Because as long as we try to control ourselves, try to control our lives on a level where, you know, we're trying to aim at it at one specific goal, that level of unconditional love, that level of, you know, incredible harmony can't come through to us, you know, in its utmost perfection. You know, I think that in order to really be able to move forwards in life, we're going to have to make a very hardline decision. But then, second of all, really prioritize what we're doing here as well. I mean, it all comes through God self-realization. If what you believe you're doing here is to be a lawyer, then you'll be a lawyer in this lifetime. And, you know, you might be a great lawyer in this lifetime. But what you won't be doing is delving into the spiritual world. And really that hardline decision comes, I think, with, I've termed it spiritual maturity, where you're mature enough to say, okay, this is what I want to strive for. That's my goal. That's what I want to get. I want to have spiritual, unconditional freedom and perfection. And I think when you make that decision, it's almost like all these other ideals in life kind of start congregating together, this kind of interactive collage to try and push you forwards to get that level of perfection. And, you know, to me, I think you are the same as well with Ascended Masters, is that when you really make that decision and you start striving for that perfection, it almost comes to you in waves. It almost comes as like mm-hmm. a deconstructive, constructive process where it gently keeps adding on and adding on and adding on and adding on until you really have this like beautiful, clear picture of what you believe perfection is and that you're really attaining it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And unless you had that, then you wouldn't really know what you're striving for.
That is so true. Wow. Yeah, this is what what the Ascended Masters term building a momentum of light. And that goes, I mean, this is, it does take the commitment. Like you were saying, you know, we're going to have to make a hard line decision. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of like, I've used this analogy quite a lot recently. It's kind of like a smoker trying to quit smoking. And, you know, it's like maybe they'll, I mean, I've quit myself, so I know what it's like. But, you know, in the last part of my, you know, my phase with smoking, when I was weaning myself off, I got myself down to, I think, one cigarette a day. And I was just taking a couple drags in the morning, one cigarette, just a few times a day. But what I was doing was instead of, you know, taking off and, you know, just really doing it, I kept reintroducing the toxin into my body. So I was giving my body mixed signals like, okay, well, I'm almost free, but, oh, you know, here's this little, oh God, I just got to do this one thing right here. Right. And it's, you know, it's a distraction. It pulls you out of what you're really supposed to do. It pulls you out of your good health. It pulls you out of your life. And that's what, you know, smoking kind of did for me, or didn't do for me, tried to do to me. But after I put that down and I walked away, I was like, you know, I could have done that sooner, but I couldn't have done it until I was absolutely ready. And like everything within me, like my whole being lined up and said, no, that's enough. And I'm going to walk away and I'm never looking back. And I did. So, but it took, you know, everything, you know, it took a certain amount of willingness and strength within me to go, I'm done. That's it. I don't care what it takes, what I have to do to be clear of this, but I'm going to do it. And that's the same attitude that you kind of have to have, a get yourself in a mindset where, you know, you're almost at the top of the mountain, but this is really, really steep part. And it just looks kind of steep, but really, if you think about it and think about how powerful you really are, you go, you know what, this is no problem. Look, I can step here, 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 and I'll be done. And, you know, it's really just kind of seeing this bigger picture. It's almost like you have to step into your higher self and really bring down a higher perspective, you know, see it from a higher point of view and go, look at this, you know, from feeling small to actually looking at really how powerful you are and then standing in your power and saying, yes, I'm going to do this. And that's how it was for me with the application. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to sit. I'm going to do this meditation and I'm going to start this application. I had no idea what it was going to turn into. 3 years later, I have a whole manual of customized calls from all these books, you know, working on an Ascended Master application. I mean, this is eternal life. You know, this is perfection. And they've really been teaching me that this is the natural way of life, that, you know, what we call miracles, you know, everyday miracles, they're really very, it's a common thing. These are the natural gifts, powers, talents that we have as God life beings, as God creator beings, as you put it too, that are just natural. And they come through as we recognize that perfection and we know that we are God. So And this also has to do with sustaining the harmony, because when you have that momentum of light, your harmony just naturally, you know, comes forth and expands. And like you said, the outer stuff, you know, these limitations, they fall away. And it's, you know, we were talking a little bit before about things that were falling away, and we were talked about TV, and like TV fell away from me really quickly and very easily. Like, I just had no need to watch the stuff anymore. It was kind of like I outgrew watching TV, you know, and this was years ago. It was like, it's like 3D life was like, wow, I have no desire to do this anymore. Why was that? And I wasn't working with the Ascended Masters back in 2006, but yet I was working with the angels. I was working with other beings, and they told me, yep, you're done. You know, you can give it. I had a little loner TV. It was just a little, you know, 13-inch thing in my little studio in the South Bay. And I really thought it was like the coolest, you know, I had the coolest little studio. It was like on my own for like the first time. And I had a friend who was really, really supportive of what I was doing. And he loaned me this little camper TV. And I'm like, and I called him up to give it back to him. And he's like, oh, no, hang on to it until you get a big one. I'm like, no, I don't think that's going to happen. And he, like, he couldn't wrap his brain around that. What do you mean you're not going to get a big TV? And I said, well, because I'm just kind of not. So, but I knew he wasn't on the level where I was, you know, I couldn't tell him, you know, I was, you know, communing with, you know, well, you know, the cosmic beings who I work with told me, you know? So yeah, I couldn't do that. But I did convey the understanding that I just, you know, I feel I'm just no longer drawn to it. I'd rather do other things, you know? And I was working on my dance practice at the time. And I was also working on meditating with the Divine Mother. And, I was starting yoga, basic, you know, breath work and stuff like that. And I was really, I felt so fulfilled. You know, in just doing these other simple activities where I felt like I had no joy to watch TV. I had no joy. Like, so many things were starting to fall away.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, my personal experience was that for some reason, TV no longer started interesting me. It just kind of gently lapped away to the point where what I was doing when I was meditating was so much more interactive and so much more beautiful. And I was meeting all these beings and, you know, communicating with all these wonderful higher beings and all these, you know, I underwent all these stories and all these discoveries that when I went back to sitting in front of that box, I was kind of sitting there one day just going, wow, this thing kind of really sucks. Like, why was I so interested in this? And, you know, it's kind of really funny because everyone I talked to started feeling like a similar thing somewhere along in their spiritual journey. Like, it wasn't just me. It was just, you know, people started getting too used to just sitting there their whole lives, like watching this TV for entertainment purposes. Whereas, you know, when you kind of start moving away from that, when you have something to replace in your life, it almost becomes meaningless to want to go and do that again. Like, you know, I'll sit there and watch programs like every now and then if I want to. But like, to me, like the first thing I want to do when I come home, you know, at night, even in the morning, is when I start interacting with beings. Because I always found, you know, these things, they have personalities so much full of color and life that, you know, instead of just watching other people undergo some kind of action adventure, I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to really strive out there and initiate that journey myself. And, you know, it's the same thing. I think when we start putting the TV down, and I'd go and I would say this, anyone out there who is still, like, completely glued to their screen, just put it down for 1 or 2 weeks and see how much change, how much that will impact your life when all of a sudden, when you get past all those withdrawal symptoms of wanting to go sit in front of the city. You know, and sit there and watch your favorite program. When you get past all of that, it's almost like you really become awakened to life. You really start interacting. It starts becoming more real. You're no longer getting limited down. You're no longer getting hypnotized. You're kind of starting to awaken to your presence on earth. And that's when people really start undergoing their awakening periods. They kind of initiate this journey and they're like, wow. You know, I need to be doing so much more than sitting here watching programs right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really interesting. You also shared something about that these beings, that they have, you know, they have personalities. I covered this a couple topics ago about the Ascended Masters and how the difference between this, there's so much controversial, you know, stuff going on between the Ascended Masters and, you know, how people believe they have personalities and they can, you know, they might tend to be judgmental or, you know, with any cosmic being who's, you know, a perfected being, so to speak, you know, this is God, you know, and, you know, I think it kind of ties into that old paradigm of, you know, the judging God and the fear, the, you know, fearing God and the punishing God and all that. I think it kind of ties into that. It's like, okay, well, if this is a being of God and this is a perfected being or whatever, you know, then they see us, then, you know, they must see our limitations and this and that. And it was interesting because I talked about this last night with a good friend of mine too. They've actually transcended all of that. I mean, they've, you know, they understand, they see us, but they don't see our limitation. What they're doing is they're actually, they see our perfection. They see our God self. And what they do at the same time is they actually, they also hold, they're constantly, constantly holding the immaculate concept for us too. So like when G comes in and we're start, we'll just start communing. I mean, I just feel like I am so much more God when I'm with him. You know, I feel like, wow, he's just totally held the space, and I feel really comfortable to be who I am. And naturally, as the God being, I self-realize more and more, and I go, wow. But he has never looked at me with a judgmental eye. And out of the things, you know, things that or mistakes that I perceive that I've made that were, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, you know, realizations and taking accountability for different things that I was not aware of at the time, I'm like, wow, I'm really sorry about that. Wow, did I let you down? And you know, he always tells me, you have never let me down. It is impossible to disappoint me. You can never let me down. And it is, he's staunch. He's really staunch with me because, you know, this is about brotherhood. This is about the Great White Brotherhood. This is about cosmic teamwork and efforts and partnerships. You know, and as we were talking also, you mentioned something about oneness through creation, and I'd like you to speak on that a little bit too. But how do you feel about that whole aspect of the personalities? I mean, this is something that I believe also that they're teaching us to do, that we do have a personality, but this is, you know, they're teaching us how to express our natural God self and not through, you know, what we think are human limitations. It's like, do this, but don't do that. No. But if we naturally just be who we are in joy, then that's God expressing naturally. How do you feel about that? And do you have anything to share about maybe how maybe Archangel Uriel or the Archangels have imparted any of that, those aspects to you on personalities and perfection?
I seem to really love personalities. In fact, I want to venture so far as that I've met beings out there with more personalities than my friends here in the physical life.
Okay.
But, you know, but you see, the thing is, there are a lot of people out there who seem to fear the idea of meeting these higher beings because of that judgmental aspect that you're talking about. And one thing that I want to say is that when you undergo a certain level of God self-realization, you no longer judge somebody based on them just being who they are. They understand that we're in the third dimension, that we're undergoing physical life, that this is all just a learning environment. You know, if they wanted to impart that kind of judgment on everybody, they'd just basically hold themselves up and never speak to anybody else in the universe. They understand all of that, and they perfectly recognize that within you. And when you actually go upwards and you communicate with them, you shouldn't be scared of what they're thinking or anything along those lines of this, you know, fear-based, you know, emotions of judgment. All you need to know at that exact moment in time is that both of you are communicating for a reason. You know, they may very well suggest ways that you can improve your life, attain a high level of purity, achieve something greater than what you're currently already achieving. But what I've never come across ever is skepticism or somehow this judgment when Archangel Uriel went, hey, Suf, what was that about? he's never gone down there, right? There's always been acceptance. Beautiful acceptance. So when we come along and we are actually communicating with higher beings, and I've communicated with them when they've had really great personalities. Personalities that make you laugh, that actually really cheer you up, give you this really positive vibe, and, you know, really motivate you. And the reason why is because that's what you need. If I wanted to go speak to a wall that wasn't giving me anything, I wouldn't be communicating with the spiritual world. You know what I mean? A lot of the reason why I keep doing what I do is because there's a lot of life and color there. Life and color that I may not ordinarily see in people around me. There's something attracting me to go towards them. And I, you know, what I've really loved, you know, I used to actually be a very, very, very kind of introverted, eccentric kid when I was growing up. And I didn't actually like speaking to anybody. I was like, you know, completely quiet in school, didn't like talking, and I was always really shy. And when I started communicating with all these beings, and they were communicating with me on such a level, with all this emotion and feeling and personality, I really started looking up to that. I really started going, wow, you know, I want to communicate like this guy. Like Archangel Uriel, that guy kicks ass, you know, he's really going for it when he's communicating to me. I'm getting everything when I'm listening to him. And I started mirroring that. I started becoming this extroverted personality because I had all this God self-realization and I just wanted to communicate with people on a level that they would get inspired, that would actually feel something when you talk to them other than nothing at all. And so to me, all that personality, that's there for a reason. It's there to teach you something. And in my case, it was helping me crack out of my shell and become a better speaker, better communicator. And to me, you know, all the archangels and all these beings that kind of I've communicated with over the past, I've taken something from every single interaction, every single one of them. Every single interaction I've ever had, I've kind of learned something. I've taken something with me and I've kind of grown and added to this myriad of feelings and communicating ability that I've kind of grown up with over the last few years. And like my number one message to absolutely anyone is never, never, never fear these things. Never fear, never feel the guilt for living everyday life. It's perfectly natural. It's as natural as the sun rising in the morning or the moon setting at night. You know, if we were already perfected beings, we wouldn't need physical life. And these archangels, they accept that. The ascended masters, they understand that. They've been through that.
That's really profound. That's really, really an excellent thing. It's, you said, don't ever feel the guilt about living, you know, your life the way you live it. Naturally, in the 3D, in the material realm. I mean, of course, we're all multidimensional beings, but, you know, we have this physicality and, you know, we have the form and it can be distracting and there can be attachments and stuff. But, you know, to not allow that, you know, whatever it is that we're doing in our daily life to affect our relationships with the masters and angels and cosmic beings, that's a really profound truth right there. I really thank you for sharing that. And we've been going for almost full steam for about a full hour now. And I think we have Crystal Fountain of Light available. So maybe we could go into the refreshing Crystal Fountain of Light for about 2 minutes or so. It's only about 2 minutes long. What do you think about that?
Sounds amazing.
And we'll... Ah, and we're back.
Amazing.
Isn't that beautiful? That's
rejuvenating.
Yes, it really is. And that's a piece by Yassos. And you can find more of his music and videos. He does these amazing visuals to some of his music, too, to his pieces. So you could find that at yassos.com. It's I-A-S-O-S.com. And he'll also be a guest upcoming on the show at some point to speak further about harmony as well through music. So stay tuned for that. And the getting back, I mean, that's a wonderful piece. And that's kind of like when I first heard that, it was kind of like I was taken back to the three-step meditation and seeing all the white dazzling light around me. And I was like, wow, here's, you know, there are like these upgrades. They're these natural upgrades. And I feel like, you know, you start with, you know, kind of like book one, and then, you know, you get other books as you go along, but like book five might bring you back to revelations. They might be higher revelations that you got in book one, but it's like all of a sudden it's like, wow, it all of a sudden it's really expanded in your awareness. It's not only like, okay, so like for a good example of that would be Ho'oponopono. Okay, so I started using that. G told me that would be a great way for me to work on, you know, forgiveness, because I was really consciously trying to clear out my past and my file drawers, so to speak. And as I was doing that, you know, I was working, and I was going through, like, you know, maybe 10 spiritual conversations a day. And I was just, I mean, I'd sit there for days, you know, crying on and off and forgiving and then opening more and more, expanding. I did a lot of work. I did a lot of work on that. And wow. I mean, it gets intense, but it's like when you make that decision, hey, I'm going to do this. And I was serious. I was not turning back. I needed to just clear out and get my life in order, because it was like a revelation where it's like, I'm not really living real life. I'm really living like this artificial whatever, this structure that was built, you know, out of the constructs of conditioning. And I need to remove that and bring my real life forward. And I don't even know what my real life looks like, but I know what it doesn't look like. So I need to get rid of what it doesn't look like to get the real stuff to come forward. Anyway, later on, you know, moving into revelations of, you know, oneness and, you know, one with my presence and one with the almighty I am that I am, and oneness with all life, oneness with all beings, oneness with humanity, mankind. G gave me this saying. It was like an upgrade to Ho'oponopono, you know, and Ho'oponopono, most everyone by now knows it. It's, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And just right there, it's like, it's almost like instant forgiveness. And especially if you can really feel it, if you can really, really feel it. And I mean, this is, we talked about this too, is feeling your way through and not thinking it. It's like, we're not thinking, we're not just saying the words, but we're really getting into those emotions and going, yeah, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And what G gave me about that is like, you know, I love you because I know who I am and I know who you are, because we are both God. There is no difference. There's no separation. So how can I not love who I am? Okay. So I go there with that. And then he gives me, I am God. You are God. I love you. We are one. And that was my upgrade to the traditional Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. You know, it kind of takes you up from that level of, you know, this is me and you, to I am God. You are God. I love you. We are one, to oneness. And we can even take it further. There's another upgrade, and you brought it forth, and I'll let you bring that in. But you talked about I am God. And yeah, about this, like this empathetic language that's coming through you as well, that you're starting to transmit. And I'd love to hear that, if you'd love to share that.
Yeah. I initially got onto I Am God from Unveiled Mysteries and from Ascended Master Saint Germain when I started communicating with him. And I didn't realize the importance of that, when I first got into it. I just said, oh, you know, it's another spiritual teaching, but I am God, all capital letters. That has stuck with me for years and years and years and years. And that has been the unlocking key for so many spiritual realizations that it's not even funny. And over the course of my awakening, I realized that I am God is just the beginning sentence. The very next part of that, which it was Archangel Uriel who gave that to me, when you say to somebody, I am God, you look at your significant other, whether it be an archangel, an ascended master, or a loved one, and you say, and you are my other God self. I am God, and you are my other God self. And that completes over this sentence with a final and third part, we are oneness through creation. And this kind of, you call it empathetic language, this language it goes beyond just normal spoken words, because it carries a lot of feeling and realizing ability to help you remember who you are and what you're doing here. I am God, you are my other God self, and we are oneness through creation. And this unlocking verse, I've been using this time and time and time again, especially when, you know, there are times where you need a little pick-me-up, or you're not 100%. You go through the motions of saying this kind of stuff. I am God. You remind yourself, I am God. You are my other God self, and we are oneness through creation. And your soul picks up. It remembers the true roots from where it came from. Now, I took this to a really powerful energetic level where I kind of started tuning into really, really high up, higher selves, where your higher self is your energetic being in a much higher dimension who is coordinating and orchestrating your physical life. And almost think about it as a conductor of energy that is able to transmit your thoughts and feelings into the greater consciousness around the universe. And I started picking up on a very powerful presence. And this really powerful presence was an ancient being. And I started saying this for, you know, time and time and time again. And every single time I say this, my body undergoes a shift. And I've never been the same. I've only recently come across this. And it's almost like I was pioneering the ancient universe. And I found this saying. And this word, it doesn't only just mean what it means. It means a whole myriad of things. When language goes to its next level, when language evolves, one word means multiple meanings. So this one word doesn't only just mean one thing. It also means it's a name of a group of beings. It is a saying to say hello. It is a greeting. It is saying goodbye. It is recognition. It is feeling. It is oneness. And this word, this ancient language, it goes even puada, which literally translates to oneness through creation. And these beings who have realized themselves, who have achieved this God self-realization, say even puada to each other, but also refer to each other as even puada. So it's almost like this one all-encompassing word tries to aim and mimic this idea of, you know, essential creation coming together as one, this one saying. And when you actually go through the motions, you close your eyes and you say even puada, or you go through and you say, I am God, you are my other God self, and we have oneness through creation, you kind of undergo an energetic shift. I mean, you can read any sentence out there, but when you go through the unlocking verse, the secret to opening up your soul into as God in creation, you undergo something really profound. And every single time you remind yourself, every single time you say it, you open yourself up and you allow yourself to keep moving forward to achieve more realization. And I just found it so profound. Like out of all of these meditations that I was doing and all these exercises and all this stuff that I learned, something as simple as a single saying can achieve that for you. These sayings have been anchored in oneness with the, you know, and the ascended masters and archangels and all these ancient beings have been anchoring the simple, most profound way for lower dimensional existences to just tune in, say something, unlock, bang, move forward. You know, all the way there. They've kind of simplified it. They've concentrated it down to something as beautiful as that, something as, you know, concentrated as that. I just found that really, really, really profound.
Well, that's really profound and amazing, and it's reminding me of also something. You know, you're talking about empowerment. I mean, this is empowering ourselves to know who we truly are. And it just, there are simple things, there are simple tools. I'm telling you, this is what Freedom Slam is all about. So I'm so grateful for these revelations coming forth, because it comes back to these really simple tools that we can use to keep us free of, you know, the conditioning and the limitations, you know, what the mind thinks about what it should be doing, what we should be doing or not be doing or whatever, you know, living up to others' expectations or whatever. None of that stuff is real. None of that stuff is even, you know, has no basis in reality. So one of my trainings, which is, it's kind of similar, but it's on the opposite pole, is actually looking at limitation. Like when, you know, I'd hear like a suggestion like, you know, oh, you know, I don't know about this or I don't know about that. If I ever felt a feeling of uncertainty within me, and I could also, you know, like, I'll, you know, the biggest thing for me is visions, you know, like I'll get a visual of something like not working out and I'll go, you know what? That has no power. It has no power. It has no power to affect me because I know that's not real, because I know that God is perfection. And I know that what I can create, I know that I'm so much more powerful than that. So it has no power. And anything, any suggestion, any thought, like a disturbing thought or something, you know, when you're trying to transcend these limitations around you and you're trying to come higher in the light, there's a process that you undergo where you really have to kind of take on a discipline. So you got to have some kind of tool set, whether it's a really simple ABC thing or whether it's, you know, a whole bunch of things that keep you, you know, really conscious of who you are, really, you know, present, participating more fully present. It doesn't matter what it takes. It's kind of like whatever it takes, whatever works for you. But what I started doing, and one of the things that I guess G saw was, would be really instrumental for me, was the quote, you have no power. And like, I went through this thing a while ago, where there was, I kept seeing this individual, like an energy signature of a friend of mine, kind of come in and just, you know, kind of project this negative feeling toward me. And I'd go, I know that that's not really who that person is that's showing up. That's a projection of whatever, you know, suggestions are in the atmosphere that maybe haven't been cleared yet, you know, with the violet flame. So these things that are in the atmosphere or around us, or I'm just going, you have no power. And as soon as I did that, it would disempower whatever the projection was, and I'd feel better. The energy would release, and I would feel, okay, I'm clear. Because I know that that was, you know, a negative projection coming at me, and I go, nope, I don't accept that. And that's one of the things that G says, get staunch about that. Don't let any negativity into your world, because before you actually have this momentum of light, you need to clear out and you can get sensitive. So they really instill this application of protection around you, like, you know, don't give anything else power. Don't give anything that's, you know, of a, I guess, a destructive nature power, because that's how you give your power away. And then you can be drained as a result of that. You don't feel energized when you participate in something that drains you. So when you give your attention to your presence and you pay attention to that and you recognize yourself as God, that's re-empowering yourself. So in the same breath, it's like, okay, that projection, whatever that is, that suggestion has no power. You have no power. You have no power. And I can't tell you, I sat there one night doing it like, you know, 50 times. You have no power. You have no power. You have no power. It was this really, really intense thing that came at me one day, and I went, you have no power, you have no power. And I did it, and I got to almost the top of my lungs, and it felt so good to just, you have no power, you're not gonna affect me. And I just took my light and I claimed it and I stood in it. I'm like, that's it. I am God. I'm not taking any more of that. So that was, you know, back in my earlier days. But G told me to really get staunch with that. So, you know, if anyone has had difficulty with staying, you know, clear of those negative suggestions, that's one of the tools. It's really simple. You have no power, because it doesn't. This energy doesn't have any power to affect you. It only affects you if you believe it, if you accept it into your being and world, because anything that projects anything at you less than love is not God, and it is not your friend. And that is a big, big teaching that G wanted to get across to me. And I guess he's pretty emphatic about getting it across to everyone listening. So, but yeah, I mean, God is our friend. You know, these beings, you know, those of us who are really you know, in alignment with what's occurring with, you know, coming together and collaborating and oneness and about expressing true love and true joy and really integrating peace and harmony. These are our friends. You know, these are the ones, you know, so sometimes we still have things that we go through, but the more of us who can really remember who we are, we can hold space for each other, you know, and help each other to stay conscious, remember who we are, and be free. So thanks for, you really prompted that. And that's a really great tool. So it's just recognizing what's limiting and what can limit you and not accepting it and then accepting your God self instead and saying,
exactly,
this is who I really am. This is my true power. And I'm not going to give my attention to anything else but my true power and expand that. And that's kind of, going into the transcendence of limitation to freedom. And it also, you know, here's another thing about this. It's, you know, we want to maintain our harmony, and this is the way to do it. I mean, we have to govern these things. You know, we have to be mindful about what's around us and what we're participating with, because these things have the potential to distract us from the light. So, you know, G talks about absolute harmony. It takes, you know, it's like doing whatever it takes to incorporate harmony into your being and world, whether it's music, you know, meditation, you know, these applications, calls to the presence, you know, visualizing, you know, holding the chart of the presence in front of you, or holding a picture of the angels or the masters, meditating with that, whatever it is, you know, maybe doing guided meditations, maybe working with animal totems or cards, whatever it does to get you in alignment is, you know, you got to start somewhere and you do whatever it takes, whatever feels good, you know, even if it's going outside, going for a walk and going to your favorite spot in nature to commune, it's just doing whatever it takes and making the time to do it. And it's also being humble enough to admit that it's actually not you doing it, but the presence working through you, this harmony. And, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, God works through us to get things done. And there's no energy in operation. It's all God. And so, you know, and we've talked about misqualified energy and the right use of energy. So the stuff, you know, those projections and those limiting thoughts and aspects, those are the energies that have been misqualified. And they just need to be transmuted. But, like, until someone really has a good momentum of light and they really know what it is, you know, there are levels on the path where you can start really working with those energies and really start embracing them and going, I know what you are, and, you know, embrace it like a child and just love it free. But until you get there, because I wasn't there in the beginning, you know, I had to stay free and clear so that I could really open myself up and get sensitive. And because G had me, he wanted me to evolve my emotional body to become the empathic being that I am. So, you know, in doing that, that's where the real seeing, knowing, and hearing is. It's in the feeling. And if you're not clear, then, you know, you still have these filters. So, you know, feeling your way through life, you weren't kidding when you were talking about that. That's all I do. You know, I used to call it navigating energy. You know, I have to navigate if I can go to that event, you know.
Because really good
if it didn't feel good, if it didn't feel right on. I mean, if I didn't have that, you know, that full body yes, you know, or even if, you know, before I even got clear enough to get to the full body yes, because that's even another clearing too. But, you know, at least to have positive feelings about it in your heart, in your chakras, in your lower chakras, it should feel good all over. It, you know, there shouldn't be an ounce of discord in you when you're feeling like, you know, you want to go somewhere, but, you know, maybe something's feeling a little bit off. That's a sign. That's a sign right there that maybe it, you know, just don't make plans for it. Maybe it's a week off in advance. Don't make plans just yet. Check in a few days, you know, and see if you're still feeling that little discord. And if you are, don't make plans. Check in, you know, the day before. Because the momentum, I mean, it changes. The energies change. So it might actually be that energies are rearranging themselves so that it is lining up for you to go, but you're just not feeling it yet. So this is part of that navigation that I went through, that process, and it was really, really helpful. And like now, I usually know instantly whether or not it's going to be appropriate for me to do something, and I try not to make plans. I just try to navigate things, you know, like in the moment and go, yeah, I feel like I'm going to do, you know, I can feel what day of the week is going to be perfect for some activity. It's just, it's so natural now. It just comes right through and it's right there. And I go, okay, yeah, let's, yeah, that feels good. And then on that day, I go, okay, some things, you know, I navigate everything. But part of it is it's calling to the presence and saying, you know, keep me in alignment with all my divine plan activities. It's go before me and sustain perfection in all of my activities. And then when you, you know, it's like trusting and the surrendering to, you know, letting the presence go forward and fulfill these things before you actually get there in physical form and it's already done. So there are so many different levels to these applications, but they all coincide. They all, you know, they create this synergy where, you know, you're working on different levels of being to, you know, orchestrate a divinely fulfilled life. And it transcends limitation naturally, like what we were just talking about. But this is, you know, real freedom. And I mean, this is really integrating absolute harmony. And to get to a point where there is absolutely not even an ounce of something unpleasant in your being and world at all, this now, that's the level where the presence can really get through, because it only recognizes itself, you see? And then it can expand as you direct it to. But you must also self-govern the thoughts and feelings around you and within you to align with the will of perfection that is trying to come through you for you to be fulfilled and happy all the time, not just once in a while and not just to solve a problem here or there. This is permeated life. It is the transcendence of all duality into the one being we are, and that means transcending all limitation to total freedom.
Something you said, I just want to also take further as well. I really like that when you're talking about just, you know, maybe negative energies or misqualified energies, when you said they recognize themselves. And I think a lot of the time we are our own worst enemies, where, you know, we love to shift blame and, oh man, you know, what's that and what's all over there? What's happening to me? And if only God did this and if only God did that. What we have to do is firstly perfect ourselves, and then that beautiful mirrored perfection starts becoming attracted to us. Whereas we stay limited, we stay incomplete, we start housing all kinds of negative emotions, you know, oh, wide array of spectrum from anger to sadness. All of that, it almost internally develops into a thought form that starts attracting other thought forms towards you. They're attracted by what you're doing, what you're thinking, and what you're feeling, whether you're aware of that or not. So when we start moving into this idea of perfection, we have to first start looking internally rather than externally. Oh, you know, the world was set up, there's all this corruption and blah, 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 blah. No, look at yourself. First look at yourself. Before you start trying to save the world, I want you to just look into how you can perfect yourself first. Because if you start, you know, building the right kind of perfected energetic body around you, then nothing can really come at you. Nothing can really get to you. I used to be the worst case example there ever was. I used to let, you know, all the whole spectrum of emotions just get to me every single day. There was never any off time. It was just bang, 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 bang every single day. And I used to live through that negativity. I used to think it was part of me. But until I came to the realization that it's not, is that I was attracting these things, that it was, you know, a result of my learning experience, I started undergoing the path for perfecting my energy. And when I did actually get to the level, and, you know, I did a lot of work like you did with, you know, undergoing and clearing out all those limitations, getting to that level where you have that level of harmony within you and around you and in your energy field, all of a sudden these things couldn't get to me anymore. I was living in a set of lifetime, you know, a certain state of being that they couldn't touch. And they couldn't touch it because I didn't have those back doors for them to just walk in without any announcement whatsoever, without me even knowing. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is knowing where your back doors are, where your vulnerabilities are. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, getting to know themselves, just getting to that level of communicating with yourself, trying to feel your way through life, that's the hardest part. Because as soon as you just make that step where you're not feeling yourself and you're starting to really analyze what's going on in your body and you're starting trying to perfect yourself, you're unaware. You're unaware before that point in time. You know, you're living in ignorance and doubt. And I think that one of the most important things that any higher being can teach you is how to perfect yourself. How do you perfect yourself? By going through and firstly figuring out who you are, you know, what you're doing here, and really where your spectrum of emotions are currently leading you. You know, we love to externalize our emotions. Go, and when people feel negativity and stuff like that, they go, oh, you know, that negativity, that wasn't me. I'm not really feeling that. That's something else. And that doesn't really work. The true balance comes when you're able to sit there and go, I accept it, but you know what? I'm something better than this. I accept that that's the nature of physical living. And you balance that off with all the other beautiful spectrum of emotions, and you know, you have to undergo this great internal shift. And when you get there, it's suddenly, it's like you're traveling through and you've just undergone this massive spiritual discovery, like you've been tracking for years and years and years and years, even though it could just be, you know, one single meditation session. And when you finally get there, it's like relief, just so much relief, because you're just like, I understand where I was going wrong. And, you know, it puts everything in perspective. And that kind of just ties into this whole conversation about, you know, how to recognize that and how to kind of put that together and why you're meeting the archangels. It all kind of plays a part into your own personal role of self-perfection.
That's really putting it all in a nutshell, I think. I mean, you know, I had to laugh when you, I mean, I chuckle here and there when you're talking, because I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, spot on. So we were talking about back doors the other day too. I mean, I've broached the subject with you. We've talked about it. I mean, it's actually just naturally come up, but I talked about it with a good friend of mine the other day too. And it's like, you know, it's like there's sometimes it's like, it just seems like it's almost out of reach of the consciousness that they really don't even get what you're saying. It's like, what do you mean a back door? I have a back door. Like, and I just go, wow. How do I do that? How do I, you know, how do I translate that? How do I transmit that higher understanding? And it's, you know, that awareness to someone who doesn't even have any awareness of, you know, doors. I am the open door. You know, I mean, when you hang out with ascended masters and archangels all the time, this stuff is just, you know, easy peasy, you know, second nature, whatever. You know, it's like I talk about this stuff in my sleep, you know, but it's like then trying to convey it to, you know, someone who just doesn't have any understanding of that. I go, wow, where do I go with that? How do I? And the thing about it is he was pointing out to me, and I was, you know, because we're having this, G and I are having this conversation also on this other level while, you know, I'm listening to you and we're having our live on the air conversation. But he's pointing out to me, I'm going, you know, where is it, you know, the Ascended Master teachings. Okay. So I'm, you know, flipping through the books in my head, you know, and I'm going, I don't remember seeing this, but I'm like, everything that you're saying about, you know, the negativity, it's like, wow, I feel that, but I can't really deny it deny that it doesn't exist, because I am feeling it. So how can I actually say that it's unreal? Because it is, it feels so real and it feels really personal in that moment. And that's where G takes me with it. It's like, it feels personal in that moment because of the feeling of it, because it's strong, because it's there, because it's, you know, it's something that has been, you know, it's life energy. So it's life energy, you know, personified through the misqualification without love. You know, it's energy that's been acted on with anger and, you know, all those in fear and all those things that are the unreality or part of the unreality. So it's like, okay, sometimes I go back to the Course in Miracles tools, you know, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Well, you know, where I go with that understanding also, and what G has imparted to me, is that the energy that's been misqualified, it actually doesn't have a life of its own. It's been acted upon, so there's energy there, but it doesn't have light. There's no light in that energy. And what it needs is light for it to live on, but it cannot take, it cannot live in the light. So if pure light were to come along, it would like consume it. It would turn it into itself, because it's really kind of like the ignorance unrecognized as God. So on that aspect as well, this energy that comes forth, it needs the light to live, but it can't live on the pure light. So what it does is, you know, what you said with these things that are around, you know, kind of in the subconscious, that you're kind of magnetizing these negative things to you. And it's like, oh, wow, before you know it, you're in your, you know, your file drawer. And it's like, wow, there's files everywhere. What am I going to do with this? And as you're looking, you know, for tools to clean that up, what people, I think, don't realize is that when you magnetize that to yourself, it's not because you're intending to attract that. It's because this energy is looking for an open door that's vulnerable enough and unaware enough that it can get in through maybe a wound, you know, or maybe, you know, an open file drawer where it's like, you know, there's a little bit of anger over here. There's a little bit of resentment over here. There's a little bit of irritation. These are the back doors. These energy pockets in our beings, or, you know, in our auric fields, these, you know, whether they're in our mental body or emotional body, they are the back doors. They are, I guess, what G also calls the leaks. So these are the leaks. And when that energy sees a leak, it can get in and say, oh, I can live here. I can, you know, I can live here for a little while because there's a leak over here. And that's exactly, you know, that's the same energy. It's attracting that energy. And if that feeling comes in strongly and you're feeling it, then what happens is the life force that's coming through you from your presence is being fed or streamlined into that feeling. You're giving attention to that, so it's being misqualified, unaware, you know, like without really conscious awareness that it's being qualified by that energy. You see, it's like a siphoning of your own light. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
It makes a lot of sense because I've undergone very similar experiences, and I think when you do figure out like what was wrong or all of those years where, you know, you're attracting all kinds of things towards you. You know, just, I wish I had someone to tell me before I even started my spiritual journey. So I did the most dangerous possible thing. When I first started meditating and stuff, I had back doors like you wouldn't believe, and they were massive. And even though I started delving into the spiritual world, I had these incredible reserves of all these negative energies that have been sticking with me my whole life that I had developed in this life. And, you know, whatever came along and whatever these energies that were attracted to me would just play up on that in a very big way. And so, as you said, you know, it feels very personal because it is. You know, you're almost forced to relive all of these kind of negative subset of emotions. You know, just for the sheer sake that as long as they distract you over here, you're not going to know what's going on over there. So in exactly what you're saying, when they start streamlining your life force out of your true presence, you know, you're no longer concentrating on that. You're no longer realizing you're now living to feed. I want to use an internet term. You're now living to feed the troll. You're now living to feed the negative emotion. So it's almost like you have to try and cut that off. You have to really learn how to, you know, round all those energies off and really create an auric field that does not have any, like, massive back doors or anything like that. I think it would be nearly impossible to go throughout life, you know, unaware of just not creating any back doors whatsoever. Everybody has them. You know, they can tie back to anything in your past, you know, even in emotional past lives where it could range from personal experiences to, you know, anything that's happened in your life to anything that happened recently, that's currently happening, any emotions, people, experiences. It all kind of rounds out, and you have to be, I guess, really conscious of what you're portraying out in your auric field, because these energies, they become attracted for a reason, and it's not because they're all hidden deep down inside where no one can see them. They can see them very well. And it's almost like in the spirit world, it's very hard to lie to each other because you're not just speaking to each other, you're feeling each other out. So they can feel you out. And I used to get a lot of people coming to me over my website on enlightenmentcity.com, you know, oh, I'm tracking this and that's happening and you need to heal me. And I'm always, my very first question is, well, you know, why are you attracting it? And people don't get that. They don't get why I'm asking that question. And it's because we're the number one culprit, you know. We will internally sabotage ourselves faster than our realization will fully engulf us in profound enlightenment. We'll always get to that unless we learn how to really come through and push ourselves forwards as, you know, these light beings who are able to sustain that perfection and harmony rather than, and this is one of the primary reasons why a lot of people hit enlightenment, you know, they'll undergo this incredibly profound realization and bang, hit unconditional love, and 2 days later they'll be back to normal. And it's almost like a balloon where you haven't tied off the bottom. You can blow it up with all the air you want to, but if you haven't tied off the bottom, all that air will just escape. And that's exactly what those back doors are. It's like open doorways, letting all that energy basically just drain out of your body. It's like trying to sail a leaky ship. It's just going to sink. And unless you tie that off, unless you really, you know, sustain that momentum, then you'll pretty much just fall back in your old ways. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons when people start losing that momentum and, you know, they start going, oh, you know, maybe it's not working. What's wrong? What's happening here? It all ties back into your body.
That's exactly true. And one of the things, it's funny when you were mentioning the balloon, I reflected back to, Jeek actually gave me that analogy not too long ago. And it's like, it's kind of like inflating a balloon and then, you know, like allowing all the air to come out without sealing it. And that's why it's important to seal the decrees and seal your tube of light around you. And I mean, there are some really, you know, basic tools that they've given us that everyone can benefit from. And it only takes, you know, it takes maybe 10 minutes or less to do it every day. And I think it's pretty neat. I think, you know, and that's another thing when you start out, this really, it's not a big commitment. You know, it's like 10 or 15 minutes, you know, in the morning or 10 or 15 minutes before bed. You'd kind of do this with meditation anyway, or yoga or any kind of spiritual practice. You'd have to devote some time in the morning, some time in the evening. You know, you want to set your energy for the day, and then you want to reflect on, you know, how your day went, what, you know, what things are there. Do I need to forgive someone? Do I need to forgive myself? How do I clear my fields and reconnect? And, you know, those are the kinds of things that I started doing. So, but I always had some kind of practice, no matter what I was doing, whether it was, you know, the Ascended Master Decrees, invocations, or whether it was, you know, getting up in the morning and doing, you know, an invocation and a, like a movement, a mudra movement, you know, to music, you know, like a sunrise greeting. You know, I've done all sorts of things to evolve, you know, my whole being, you know, so I've gone in levels, and it's really amazing. It's really amazing, yeah. How it's, but it also, you know, it has a natural progression to it as you advance and as you, you know, you keep desiring. It's like you said something just a while ago about when you have these experiences, it's like your soul like wakes up and it remembers the roots of your who you really are as a God being.
Yeah. And this is the thing. A lot of the reason why I believe these experiences happen in the first place is for your realization. I believe that life has been orchestrated on such a level that it's so much more profound than even what most spiritual people believe destiny is doing. You know, when we start really interacting with the spiritual world, you start to get a clear picture of how not only all the positive things, but how all the negative things were geared to help you undergo a very specific realization in this lifetime that would not have ordinarily happened if those negative experiences never happened to you in your life. And this is, I guess, part of the forgiveness process as well, when you're able to recognize that as something that helped you rather than something that has now, you know, taken apart your life and really destroyed everything you ever believed in. But, you know, when you start looking at the world as these, you know, counterintuitive negative experiences, and then you have these profoundly intuitive positive experiences as working together, as, you know, kind of spiraling in and out, you know, jumping in and out of consciousness to help you achieve that level of God self-realization, then you can start to understand the way oneness works, but also why the duality exists. I mean, everything was created for a reason, you know, positive and negative working in unison. And one of the first things that Archangel Uriel taught me was, well, firstly, you know, sometimes these negative experiences can get too much. Sometimes just everyday life, you know, sit back and go, whoa, I need to take a step backwards. And I guess one of the reasons why he started teaching me psychic self-defense, I call that basically the perfection of your aura and your being as psychic self-defense, where the true art godfather of psychic self-defense is being a beautiful, loving being. But for the more simple steps of how to get you through everyday life, I use energetic exercises to basically go through and perfect your aura, manipulate your aura into doing something substantially beneficial. And I, you know, I detail a lot of different things in my book, World of Archangels, about how you're able to undergo different exercises, like putting on different protections, you know, throughout the day, even when you're sleeping. But the idea is that he wanted me to learn something that I was able to control the way these experiences hit me to the full onsets. So I couldn't control when they're coming up to me, but I could control what happened and how I felt and what I did when they did actually occur. And that's the important part. Is, you know, you can't control life. You can't control everything coming towards you. But what you can do is learn how to transcend the situation that you're currently experiencing. And that's what my psychic self-defense techniques, you know, helped me with. You know, when I was putting up all this energetic armor, when I was going through perfecting my aura, when I was putting up these beautiful white orbs around me and all this kind of stuff, I was limiting myself and I was learning how to detract away from these kind of experiences. Learn what they were there for, but learn how to silence them as well. And this is part of the reason why I think Archangel Uriel, very, very, very early on, you know, he was always teaching me about, you know, put on your psychic self-defense and learn how to perfect your energy before you enter the spiritual world. Not about halfway through, not afterwards, before you enter the spiritual world. Because before you enter the spiritual world is when you're going to have control of how you're going to interact with the spiritual world. You know, basically the very beginning sets the tone for the whole realization. Enter the spiritual world with volatilities, then you're going to have a really volatile experience. Enter the spiritual world confident, calm, clear, God self-realized, you're going to have a really jam-packed, action-packed time. So to me, it's all about trying to, I guess, not so much seal yourself off, but trying to gain control of your own aura at least, that you are able to now direct your experiences and have some level of assurance to, you know, where you're going, what you're doing, and who you're interacting with as well.
That's amazing. That is exactly, you just explained the first part of the Ascended Master application. Because that's exactly what G did with me. I mean, the three-step meditation and then doing simple things like calling in the tube of light, calling in. One thing that I have to say, this beloved Archangel Michael, I love you. He stuck around with me for a long time. And he's still here, of course, as they are always, you know, with us. You know, it's like you just think of them and, you know, you're one with them, not because that they're not already there, but because you've become aware of them. So
exactly,
but he's instructed me about clearing etheric cords. I mean, and this is really interesting because years later, you know, these etheric cords, you think, okay, well, cords, what do you mean cords? I don't see any cords. Well, no, you don't see them. They're etheric cords. You know, they're these little, you know, strands of very fine electronic, you know, substance that, when you make connections with people, whether it's connecting with people face to face or on the phone or on the internet or just even thinking about someone, those are thought cords, you know, and then there's thought forms that you have this communication exchange between you and these cords can attach, you know, for whatever, you know, where you were thinking about feeling, at the time. And if you don't clear them, they stay with you and they can build up and you can get blocks because of that. So that's another thing that, I mean, Archangel Michael told me a long time ago, and I've been doing this for years and years, so I have a really good momentum on, you know, being clear of all that stuff. But years later, when I came across Ho'oponopono, I came across a website. It's called AncientHuna.com, and it's a really wonderful site. It's been around for years, and it's one of those, you know, kind of oldies but goodies. It's that one of those really solid efforts that was anchored, and it's been, you know, providing a really ancient but yet timeless teaching to everyone who comes across it. And I always recommend it to anyone who really wants to know more about Ho'oponopono, because I think that that's probably one of the best sites that I've found that has just a really specific and detailed and really well-rounded explanation of Ho'oponopono and what does aloha mean, and what do these various things mean. And aloha, it's actually, I mean, I don't have the full meaning right in front of me, but it does mean oneness, you know, love and oneness. It goes back to that. And in that teaching also, there's a page that teaches you about Akka chords. They're called AKA chords. And it's the same thing. They talk about this ethereal substance that can attach to you. And I'm going, oh my goodness. So this teaching that I never found anywhere, that they imparted to me years ago, that, you know, I never read a book on it, I never read it anywhere, no one ever told me about it, but the angel said, clear your cords, clear your cords, clear your cords. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. But I noticed after I started doing it how much better I felt. It was like immediate shift. I mean, it just lift off, you know? And later when I found the thing about the Akka chords on the Huna website, I was just blown away. I was like, wow, there's something really tangible here that actually tells me that what I've been doing all along is perfect. And it's just more validation. You know, I get things like that. Like, G will tell me things, and there'll be no teaching about it. I won't find it in the I Am discourses. I'm like, you know, this really surpasses these other teachings and understandings. So, you know, and his kind of, his response to me on that is like, you know, well, we don't, you know, stay the same over here. You know? We're continuously evolving too, and
exactly,
and expanding. And so when you're ready for the understandings, I'll give it to you. You know, when you're, you know, when you want that, when you're ready for it, when I see an opportunity. I mean, I think he's probably, they're all clever, but I think he's probably one of the most clever masters ever, and he knows it.
Saint Germain.
Yeah.
Honestly, I always say this to everybody. He must be one of the most active masters out there.
Yeah.
You know, I came across him, but then, you know, I've met others who just really profoundly just heard of his name and, you know, oh, you know, Saint Germain visited me in dream and this and that. And he wanted me to do this and I wanted to name this and my website. And I think that he's doing so much great work, you know, even, you know, through you and even for me, it was just so profound when I realized that both you and I had actually met this ascended master. And a lot of that was because when we started talking, he started coming to me even more. And I kind of had this connection through Saint Germain to you. And it was so amazing when, you know that basically on, not from a physical level, but in this profound ethereal world, there is an ascended master out there who wants you to continue and strive forward and achieve your goals. That's powerful stuff. Because I think as we're growing up, we always have these validation issues and we're always trying to look for, you know, external validation. But when you realize that you're God and there are beings out there who are willing to help you when you realize you're God, that is, you know, you undergo a really powerful momentum. That really knows how to, like, push you forwards and I guess take everything you do to a whole nother level.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because as you're talking about that, I'm also seeing, it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, my own multidimensionality is kind of like opened up where I can actually see it as like this big heavenly candy store. And I'm going, wow, which jar of candy do I want to talk about here?
Candy store.
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm actually seeing G standing here and I'm, you know, and he's telling me that he's giving me that what you're saying has been spot on for me too, in the way that he's been working with me, where he's been kind of cherry picking and going, well, you're ready for this, and now come over here, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, he never leaves my being. It's like, he's always got a hand in my aura. I just saw that big white inflated hand that he gives me every now and then, because I'll say, I think G has a hand in that. And I'll see, I'll just get this thought form, this big white inflated hand. You know, remember that hamburger helper hand? That's the kind of thing. I mean, you were talking about the humor, and I wanted to comment on that. You know, when you really, really get into developing a bond with these beings, it's like you said with Uriel, it was like, boom, it was like all at once. There was this gush. I mean, it was just everything opened, and you were like, whoa, my God. You know, and it took
on
you
a
to
really
such,
profound level.
Yeah. I've gone there too with G and with Elmoria. You know, when you remember your cosmic connection, it is so profound that it's just like, oh my God, I've never experienced anything like that. I mean, I've been on roller coasters where, this feeling doesn't even compare to the best roller coaster I've been on, or, any kind of, really, really joyful moment in human life. It's not, there's no comparison. It just doesn't hold a candle to what the experiences with the relationships with the masters and the angels are, and that they're giving us and they're showing us, because they're showing us, hey, this is God reality. You know, you've not been experiencing God reality over here, but this is what God reality is like. And it gets better. I mean, holy geez, it gets better. It gets even more profound and more deep. And it's so amazing, and it's so wonderful, and I love connecting with them on these levels, because the more you do, and like we also talked about, their personalities, their personas, they are, God personified. I mean, they express, their beingness, their God beingness, and they do have humor, especially Cthulhu. I mean, he's always talking about the Delhi. And all the wonderful things they have at the New Delhi. And it's this, it's kind of like this picture, this big cosmic warehouse where they've got everything. And I'll say, hey, Kut, I'm thinking about this. And he'll show me. He's like, that's it. We have a new aisle. All for you. And he'll just, it's like, but they give us these things in ways, kind of humorous ways to let us know that, they're bringing in not only the element of joy, but that, yeah, you know what? We're God beings, and God wants us to be happy and to accept that joy, and that we can actually, if we can see it and we can believe it, we can create it. We can, we can lower it here, without having to do a whole lot of work for it. It's part of that manifesting, and they teach us how to bring, what we're seeing forth. But part of, and that's the divine plan too. That's part of our divine plan, is that visualizations coming in, from the divine, that are these joyful, what you can see as maybe potentials for the direction for your life to go in. Or you could go here, go there. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to, compose a song. Maybe you want to, climb a mountain, or whatever it is, fly a plane, or, whatever, go, travel across the country, go to somewhere, start a community, whatever it is, these are these kind of the divine impetus that's kind of always with us and going, yeah, I kind of feel this, but oh, it's not time yet. And it's not time yet. A lot of that, the not time yet, not yet, not yet. It's because we haven't cleared out enough. Because we haven't built up those relationships enough, because we haven't trusted, really stepped into full trust with our divine yet to say, hey, I'm God, I'm going to do this because I can do this, and I'm going to move forward. And that's it. There's nothing that's going to get in my way, because how can anything get in my way either? There's nothing to oppose what God decrees. So when you take that stand and you say, I'm God, I'm moving forward, these are the plans I'm getting, and I'm trusting this, and I'm trusting this. And as it comes in, you get a stronger current of yes, yes, yes. My friend Yasos, actually, he uploaded a YouTube recently. It's called Tips for Aspiring Musicians. And he pointed something out in that YouTube, which I'm really, really, it got me on such a level where it's, he talked about exactly what I said on a show not too long ago. If I can remember exactly what he said, I'll try to quote, not verbatim, but he talked about the full body. Yes. He talked about, if you're sitting there trying to decide what to do, okay, what's the next thing that I can do? Because, you're realized, as a God being, and you know, oneness with all life, and that, you know, you're contributing to the whole and you're fulfilling your divine plan individually, which is, you know, your life has a natural rhythm. So if you're trying to find that rhythm, it's really about getting in touch with the current. And that's about being clear in your feeling body. Because when you're clear in your feeling, then that full cosmic yes can come through and go, yeah, that's it. That's what I want to do. But unless you're really clear, then the presence, or, you know, that big current, the cosmic yes, can only get through partially, because you don't have, you know, a lot of joy within. So it's, but it does get through. Even if it gets through partially and it's a really, really strong positive yes answer, even if you're not feeling it fully in your body, it's like, start moving in that direction. Just start moving with whatever excites you the most, you know, and it should bring you joy. It should bring you happiness. It should be, you know, a constructive activity that you know, has the impetus to move you forward if you tap into it. You know, and that's also like part of the soul saying, oh yeah, oh, now I remember what I'm supposed to do here. And that's it. That feels like that's what is an alignment for me to do. And you just, okay, I'm on it. When you make that decision, it's like nothing gets in your way. It's like the presence really rushes. It practically trips over itself to get to you. And, you know, that's one of the teachings in the books too, that the presence, when you keep calling to it and you give your attention to it and you keep calling and you keep invoking the light and you keep invoking, bring it in, it just practically falls over itself to get to you, because that's what it wants. This is the true life, the God reality that is supposed to be coming through us to expand. But we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to integrate with it. We're supposed to expand with it. We're not just here to, you know, be conduits and bring it through and then we're done. We're supposed to, you know, integrate with it. That's, you know, the blending into the whole. I think that's one aspect of it anyway, is blending into the whole.
I just wanted to like interject. There was something you said in there just triggered off this massive thought construct in my mind. Now, one of the things which I guess a lot of people emailed me across, like over the course of my book and everything else, was how do you tell the difference between a real and genuine higher being and something that's just imposing to be one?
Aha.
And it goes directly into what you were just saying. And this ties back to when I first met Archangel Uriel, and I think you've said something very, very similar, I didn't just get overwashed with emotion and, you know, general light. I had this connection with him. There was a bond there. As soon as I saw him, when I saw the true and real form of who Archangel Uriel was, there was almost like this brotherly connection, like a brotherly love that just kind of shot through my body, and my soul knew I'd met this being before. It was that instant connection. And I've had this really strong bond of Archangel Uriel. And that's why I started remembering. It was so powerful. I literally started remembering past embodiments, past lifetimes on Earth, where I'd actually met Archangel Uriel. And those kind of really strong, profoundly loving bonds, those connections, are what you're looking for. You're not just looking for a little bit of an energetic high and a little bit of love. You're looking for something life-changing, something really worth striving for. And, you know, there are a lot of people who try to sit there and they call upon their ascended masters and archangels. And they basically go through those conversations without any other thought. But I teach people how to sit back and really try to discern the true nature of the being standing before you. And that is really important. Out of everything I teach, that's probably one of the most important, because over the course of everything I've done, there is a lot of beings out there who try to basically come through as imposters, but, you know, they may look like Archangel Uriel, they may sound like Archangel Uriel, but they may not feel like Archangel Uriel. And there are a lot of these style of beings out there, and one of the biggest reasons why these beings do that is to basically utilize your back doors in order, you know, willingly. So you're willingly giving them your energy rather than, you know, unwillingly or without you knowing. They're literally walking in there and they're utilizing all these, you know, negative substantive emotions without you even knowing about it. But I teach that, you have to actually put beings through a certain test. And if they're a true higher being, true archangel, true ascended master, then they're not going to, you know, have any doubts, any worry about fulfilling this test, because this entire test is fulfilled by feeling. And when you sit there, and let's say ascended master Saint Germain is before you, and you're not quite sure because, you know, you're just starting out, you don't really have a really clear understanding. You don't really know if that is really ascended master Saint Germain. You say to it, I want you to prove to me that you are a true higher being polarized to the light. That last part is important. You have to say polarized to the light, because there are indeed higher beings out there who are not polarized to the light. And when you say, I want you to prove to me that you're a true higher being polarized to the light, they can satisfy this command, this discourse, this test, by opening up this very, very powerful energetic door in your body to allow you to feel that brotherly love, that unconditional love, to the point where you're taken to the verge of, you know, basically tearing up in so much joy and harmony and love. That is a true higher being. And that is the reason why I keep doing it. That feeling, people ask me, you know, why do you believe in a spiritual world? And I kind of, you know, look back at them and go, why do you actually believe in the spirit, you know, in the physical world? Because in the spiritual world, I'm getting all of this. I'm alive. And I'm feeling so much emotion and so much profound, you know, ability. And then you kind of come back to the physical world and it's kind of dull and nothing really going on. And the people are just talking to you. I've been reduced to that. They're just talking to me, and yet when you hit back into the spiritual world, it all opens up again, and it's so much more interactive, and there's so much there, and that really ties back into what you're talking about. How when you're feeling that, and you've got to feel that, there's no way you can satisfy that by thinking your way through it. There's no way you can satisfy that through a vision. No way you can satisfy that with some kind of sound. You got to really open yourself up to the full spectrum of emotions and really feel that and really feel the true genuine nature of the being standing before you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so spot on. The whole feeling about it is what makes it yay or nay. I mean, I had G first showing up to me. It was interesting their their training with me, because he first showed up, and then it was like right after him, it was like El Moria stepped in, and then Serapis Bay stepped in, and then, you know, I was just, you know, they were just like, go here, do this, do that, blah, 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 you know, and I was running around, and I'm going, okay, 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 and I'm doing all this stuff because I'm, you know, I'm just trusting, and I know it was leading me all in the right direction, so I was accelerating quickly. But after a while, it was what they did was they worked, I think, a little bit differently with me. Well, they worked differently with everyone according to their own, you know,
level of realization.
Exactly. Thank you. So the way he worked with me was that he got me on the application, and it started evolving. He started having me personalize some of the calls. I'd write down the calls from the green books, and I'd transcribe them in the computer. I'd print them out, and I'd put them, you know, in a folder, and I'd have this application. And it was like, it was interesting, because from day to day, the application, like, oh, that sentence is, oh, that word has changed. Oh, there's an upgrade here. Oh, I got to add this. And it was like, it got to a point where, you know, I'd go and I'd transcribe, I'd reprint it out, and I'd have a nice new, you know, I'd have an updated application. And then that would last for maybe about a week. And then I'd have to go back in and transcribe again and print it out and then upgrade again. And I got tired of doing that. And just little pencil notes. I mean, I'm going up and down. I'm using like every little corner of the empty space of the page to write my upgrades in. Because as soon as I go and transcribe it, it, you know, it evolves again. And I'm just going, okay. Eventually, you know, I'm getting to a point where I'm going to be getting off the paper soon. And I think, you know, I'm kind of at that point now. I'm ready to make that transition, that I'm on that threshold where it's really just, it's applying everything. And, you know, but it's kind of like part of me wants to keep on going with, you know, I have such a momentum of light on this. I want to keep going, and I want to keep, you know, keep some of the application in my field. But I want to start, you know, he wants me to start experiencing it more and applying it more into community and sharing with community. But one of the things that I wanted to get at in this training, in this process of going through this, these upgrades and this call and that call and blah, 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 I got to a certain point where Saint Germain would show up, but it wasn't Saint Germain. Mm-hmm. So he put me through. He put me through a testing phase. he saw that I got strong enough, and that my momentum of light was built up enough. I had enough. They wanted to see how much protection I needed. So they actually permitted, you know, some of the imposters come in, because in a way it was like I was able to tell the difference, because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not feeling this love that I normally feel, you know, with you, you know. And he'd just kind of sit there with a smirk on his face, like, yeah, well, you know, whatever. And I'm like, and I really questioned that. And I went, what's going on here? You're pulling my chain or whatever. And nope, you'd just like sit there and it'd be like, there really wouldn't be anything going on. And then I would hear, well, so tell me what we've been talking about lately. And then I go, nope. Immediately there was something off of that. And I'm going, nope. Okay, so, you know, and then I would use some tool to get to eliminate the imposter and say, I would either say, you know, you're not the real Saint Germain. You know, I call to the beloved Mediane presence and the real Saint Germain to you know, come forth right now. And to remove, you know, whatever other energies are not serving or are not of the light here right now. And then, you know, that would usually do it. But then they got stronger.
Yep.
And when they got stronger, I got to a point where I had to actually use a really serious call to have them either, you know, bend the knee before my presence or be taken, you know, have Archangel Michael come and take them. So I had to do that quite a few, you know, 50 times or so.
Archangel Raphael, he's a really good archangel to call if you've got something negative around you. Because Archangel Raphael, he actually serves as the general and the archangel of other angels. So he commands, or, you know, commands is the right word for it, but he has under his wings leagues and leagues and leagues and leagues of angels and battle angels and all these beings who basically, you know, go forward and act as guardian angels, and they will come to you and remove those kind of beings for you. That's just a really quick tip for anyone out there. Calling Archangel Raphael is really good for that kind of thing. And I've called him quite a few times. You know, as you said, in the beginning, it'll be something small that's off. You'll just notice it. It'll just be a small doubt in your mind. You'll be like, what was that? And then the next time, you know, they'll leave and you'll remove them or whatever. And the next time, there'll be someone better. Someone who doesn't have that flaw. And the way it happened to me, I got quite a few imposters over this one, like, two-month period. And they were exactly what you just said. They were training me to be able to discern the nature of higher beings. And in the beginning, you know, it was really easy to tell. But then towards the end, they were coming down with the full, you know, makeup, lights, show. Everything was there to make you believe that it was a true higher being. And every single step along the way, they're trying to teach me where the red flags were. Okay, it was something that they said. Okay, it was something that happened there. Okay, true higher beings don't have this escort of guards. Okay, true higher beings don't come down and predict when you're going to win the lottery. True higher beings don't come down and, you know, encourage dark onset of emotions. There was just all this stuff that I had to go through. And as a result of basically this incredibly action-packed two-month period, by the time I came out on the other end, right, I had learned so much about the way negative consciousness works. I'd almost become some kind of authority on it because I'd just undergone, you know, so much to this level where very few others had gone to as well. And I think if anybody's going out there, even yourself, when you're delving into the realm of ascended masters and archangels, you know, there is a possibility. I won't say a certainty. There's only a possibility that when, you know, you turn your light on to such a great degree that basically everything on the planet's now looking at you, something will come your way.
That's like, oh my God, that's so, yeah, okay. I've likened that to the big neon sign, you know, that Eat at Joe's sign. It just kind of goes right above the earth. And it's blinking. It's going, hey, we got one. Here's a newbie. And they all look at you. All the attention goes, whoop. Yeah, I had that too. And that's it's really interesting because I had a real swarm of imposter Saint Germains come in. And I mean, I had my own, you know, blue flame laser sword going, wow, you know, spinning around me and going, you know, I was just calling in so much blue flame. And I really appreciate you mentioning that side note on Archangel Raphael, because, you know, that I think we also have, you know, our even the spiritual culture has kind of a set, you know, that we have these labels like, oh, Archangel Raphael's healing, you know, and Michael is protection. And, you know, there's all these things and they've kind of become like, you know, dogma. So I didn't know Raphael was, you know, good for this. And I really appreciate knowing that. So I do have a copy of your book. I haven't read through it yet, but.
I mentioned him in World of Archangels. Actually, when I was writing World of Archangels, I have this story of when he and Archangel Michael came into my room. And these were all the introductory pieces. Like, people don't get this. Like, a lot of what is actually in my book, World of Archangels, these were just the beginning stories. This was just, like, how it all happened. Not necessarily, like, the full breadth of all my experiences of the spiritual world. But I was introduced to Archangel Raphael. And the first time I ever saw him, he came in this pure gold full set of armor, with this big, beautiful angel wings, and was walking through my apartment. And the first thing I thought, wow, what's up with this guy's armor? And he started like downloading all of this really full-on stuff into my mind about who he was and what he was doing. And he was like this general to this army of angels in the universe. And he was the one who was basically, you know, scheduling which guardian angels hang around which groups of people and all this kind of stuff. And he had this really, really amazing, I don't want to say job, but position, you know, around in the archangels. And once you start communicating with them, I think the doors begin to open up as to what their true roles are within the universe. You know, I think a lot of the movement that we've seen here on Earth, it kind of gives you a little bit of perception into what, you know, what you can call them down for and stuff like that. But, you know, there's this incredible backstory behind each of the archangels that is very complementary to your own God self-realization as well. They've pretty much attained the highest level of God self-realization in the universe. And the only higher that you can go from an archangel is God-level being. And they purposely drop themselves out of the 12th dimension into the 11th dimension to stay within the universe. 11th dimensional is in-universe, 12th dimensional is just unconditional love. You're no longer needing the universe to live and grow. And these beings, you know, they can impart so much knowledge and wisdom, but, you know, part of the reason is that, you know, when I was talking to Archangel Raphael, he has this ability to basically comprehend every single thing that not only that you've done in this life, but every single life you have ever lived. He has this gaze. He has these eyes. He's just able to see it. And you become so humbled before these beings who are just able to comprehend like everything about you. Like, they just get you, every single aspect of you.
And when they don't judge you for it.
No, they're not judging you. They're understanding you on every single level. And, you know, you can't get that through normal human interaction. I mean, you can get that with these beings who are able to comprehend multiple streams of lives. And they're able to work with you because they know that. Whereas if they didn't know that, didn't know anything about who you are, what you've been doing, then, you know, what kind of advice would they be giving you? But because they're able to comprehend all of that, you know, what they're doing is practically flawless, you know? And so when I first met him, like, it was, I didn't understand, like, how these beings had that, how they're able to just look onto my life. And it's like, they're not just what I was saying to him through my inner voice, through when I was communicating with him and when I was talking to him, was only partly of what he could see and understand and feel from my life. And in the very beginning, I wasn't really like, you know, communicating on this profound level of feeling, visions and thought forms and all this stuff, creating this collage, but he could already see that. And I, you know, that's part of a lot of the reason what spurred me on to, you know, writing my book and also like teaching people how to communicate with higher beings, because that is available to you. That is there. Same thing with ascended masters. They're there to help you as long as you undergo that level of God self-realization.
You just said
it. Yep. You don't undergo it, then they can't help you. Because you're not opening yourself up to them.
That's right. And that is, you know, it's a conscious choice. But I also think that there's, you know, there's ignorance there. Is there a lot of time the reason that choice is made? It's a conscious choice, but it's based out of ignorance. And I think the more people understand that, you know, these beings are here to have actually develop personal bonds and relationships with us, not only because of who we are as, you know, God beings, we're all God life beings together, this oneness through creation, but also because we've been with them embodiment after embodiment. I mean, I've had countless lives with Saint Germain and some of the other masters. El Moria is another one, you know, and they all know us to, you know, to these extents, and they, and also, another teaching or another understanding, I should say, is more of an understanding that G has imparted to me, is that they can all see us at that level from which you spoke about. Archangel Raphael is like, they all have that ability to see us and see our Akashic records or see our records, because it's there, it's recorded. There's nothing that they can't see. You can't hide anything from the all-seeing eye of God. You know, and since, because they're already one with everything, they're already one with our presence, they, of course, know everything about us already, too. So the masters are, you know, it's the same way. But I feel like what Raphael was showing you, and this is just my feeling, is that he was showing you what they're all capable of doing.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting that very, very clearly. That was coming across very clearly. It's like they can all see us like that. And they all, but they all have that, you know, self-realized, they're, you know, they're perfected beings, and truly their teachings and their instruction is flawless. But it does work both ways. We have to be willing to open up to their instruction, and it's really personal. And, you know, it, like what I said in the beginning, it's like having a, you know, a best friend who's invisible, who's, you know, you may not really see with your physical eyes. Some people do. You know, I see the sparks of light, and I see spheres, and I see all that with my physical eyes, and I see the colors, and I see, you know, sometimes I see them walk in, but mainly it's all, you know, the mind's eye is just, it's all wide open. It's all, I see them. But the thing about it is like, you know, you see them and okay, they're here. It's like, if I think about him, he's here. And if I'm not thinking about him, even if I'm focusing on something else, I'm looking at a book or I'm writing something, he's still here. Or they're still here. It's just when you turn your attention toward them, they're instantly here. Just like your presence. It's like, you know, you turn your attention instantly to your presence. You may be self-conscious of your true self, you know, self-realized, you know, on this multidimensional level. You know, you're conscious and you're transmitting from what's coming from above you, while you're also aware of, you know, the world and what maybe a percentage of the population is still participating with as far as limitation goes. So that's where I am. I navigate that. But, you know, the ascended masters and the archangels and the angels and the cosmic beings, and as you said, all those, you know, polarized through light, they can see that too. They know what's there, but they're not judging it, and they're not, you know, turning against it. They're not rebelling against it. They're acknowledging it, but they're seeing the perfection of it. They're loving it for what it is, and they're holding the immaculate concept for it to raise. And that's what they're teaching me to do. And I know that that's something that they've imparted to me to share with everyone, you know, through this venue too, and in the teachings they've given me, is that if we could become staunch enough in our applications where we can become self-realized, and to an extent where we know who we're working with, you know, and it becomes a team effort. It's no longer like, oh, this is a God being. I got to sit up straight and wear white and, you know, pray 20 times before I meet, you know, this, you know.
Light some like, candles.
Go to church, I know. Kind of thing, you know, like put on my Sunday's best. No, it's like, no, I'm sitting here in my PJs and I'm just, you know, meditating and, you know, here comes, you know, 25 masters come walking in my temple. And I'm like, oh, okay, hey, what's up? You know? That's how it is. That's really how it is. It's so natural. to go there. And it's also, but it's like, it's remembering how did you interact with those beings as a child? It's like, go back into your child. This is, you know, the emotional body evolving it to the empathic body. It's, you know, the Christ consciousness becoming, you know, evolving the child into the Christed being. We're no longer the babe in Christ, but, you know, the Christ in action, in form. You know, and we're here to, you know, to direct this light and raise up each other and the earth. And fulfilling this divine plan, it actually constitutes that we do work hand in hand, you know, with the Great White Brotherhood, the angels, the elementals, and all these beings who have similar purposes to work with us and through us to accomplish this great task. So, you know, everything we've been talking about is just, it's a matter of really, really being open to transcending your own life and anything that you've accepted as limitation in your life, to really wanting to be totally free, and then taking the reins and say, yes, I'm going to be free, and yes, I'm going to do it, and I don't care what it takes, and I'm going to do it no matter what, you know, and you just do it. You know, it does take effort at first, but it's, as you start doing it, it's like it starts to become effortless. Because it really becomes very enjoyable to actually be in alignment. And it's like you have more peace already, like very quickly in a very short amount of time. You have more peace. You have more joy. You have more love. You feel more love. You know, your chakras clear out and you feel better and your health improves and you look better. You look younger. You know, you feel great. So it's like, you know, it's a life change. It really is. It's your life totally changes when you start working with these beings. It's just, and for me, it's not been any going back. This, you know, even when I first found the spiritual path and I was working with Archangel Michael, I thought that was it. And I was like, I'm not going back to anything else. This is great. This is great. And I stuck with that for a few years. And then, you know, it was like, it was time to move forth and upgrade, you know, my teachings and understanding. So more beings came in and started working with me because they saw that I was open. But it did take a few years for me to clear out. So, but that was years ago, you know. So it takes your diligence, you know, and your understandings. And it's like, well, how willing are you to look at what you need to work on? How willing are you to look at what's in your heart that you can, you know, forgive and let go of? How willing? You know, do you want to walk around with this woundedness forever, you know? Or do you want to get on it and get past it and get over it and, you know, heal it, transcend it, you know? And that's what I find is, you know, these are the kinds of individuals that I feel like they, you know, they bring to me, that they see a certain willingness in others that, okay, this one's ready to cross the threshold on something here. You're going to be instrumental for this one over here and that. And that. So, you know, I do a lot of that work one-on-one with others, but that's something that I have seen as like, you know, that willingness. And that's one of the teachings that he keeps imparting to me, that he says, you know, come on and be emphatic about this, you know? And I'm just going, yeah, I mean, and I feel his emphasis in here going, I can almost hardly not even transmit the ginormous enthusiasm Saint Germain has for everyone to be free. I mean, really, 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 it's almost like comparing, you know, David Lloyd's excitement to sharing about his record of making his physical ascension on Mount Shasta. It's such a, like, you know, it's just so enormous, the enormitude of these beings and how passionate, you know, and desirous they are for all of us to be free and to be, you know, living the truly God life, you know, as the God beings we are, and creating, you know, what is yet to come, but what is already in, you know, the divine consciousness, the divine mind. All we have to do is get clear, be in joy, and bring it through. It seems simple, but, you know, and like you said, Sufyan, you talked about there has to be something that to really, really strive for, that you have to really, really want, that's beyond the norm, what's considered normal life, 9 to 5 and TV and, you know, whatever, simple things like that. There has to be something really, really profound.
Yeah. And that something, it will inspire you and it will actually initiate some kind of change in your mindset, in your body, your psychological construct. You know, something which I figured out is that, you know, going throughout normal everyday life, sure, it's great. Sure, it will probably get you from A to B in terms of physical life terms. But, you know, it'll fall everything short of truly allowing your soul to move forward. And I think that it may come as a result of just incarnating hundreds and hundreds of times over, where you start to feel that there needs to be something more in life rather than just the regular 9-to-5 work, family, home mortgage ordeal. And that motivation, I think you need to initiate that. I had a really, really great analogy given to me by Archangel Uriel. And it is that, think about every single human being on earth on one single plane. Everybody's a white orb. They're all floating and they're all on one energetic plane. Now, when we start to feel the need for change, spiritual change, for ascension, you know, for some kind of something to start leading us forward, our soul, our body of consciousness starts growing ever so slightly brighter. It almost starts attracting the attention of angels, archangels, ascended masters. They start looking at us. They start going, oh, hey, look, there's a soul over here that looks like it wants to move forward. It looks like it wants to float upwards. So what they do is almost imagine a very powerful white ball of energy, loving light, starts floating downwards towards where your energetic ball is slowly starting to fall upwards, starting to rise upwards. And this movement of taking a step towards them, while simultaneously they're taking a step towards you. There has to be two to tango, both of you taking a step towards each other in this creation of play. And when you actually meet, when you actually, these two energetic balls meet, you almost like you pair up and you both start floating upwards, higher up into the realms. And this is the basic analogy of what's actually happening when we're meeting ethereal beings who are helping us. We are being, you know, paired up with them, and they are helping us, and they're helping us reach the level that they have attained. And it all starts with this energetic motivation to suddenly want to change. In the same sentence, I can say that the true exact opposite happens where, you know, if let's say we start expressing negative feelings, let's say we start motivating ourselves to start, you know, performing negative activities. When we start falling down in consciousness, that ball of energy starts taking on dark properties. There are incredible great dark beings who come up to pair up with us and allow us to excel further in exactly what we are attracting. So there's this almost balance. So this is where this motivation has to come from, the right energetic reasons. You know, we can be motivated into basically doing anything. But as an old soul, and I do believe that there are a lot of old souls on the planet, especially if you're understanding what we're talking about, you know, you pretty much classify as an old soul, that when you understand the need, the want to change, the want to move forward in your spiritual ascension and evolvement, they will come. You know, until you get to that level where you're open to that, then, you know, you can be calling out, but, you know, and nothing will really happen. But unless you really undergo that, you know, the really big energetic change, and to me, I think that motivation, it has to be very strong. It can't just be, let's say, oh, you know, I kind of want to delve into the spiritual world today. Hey, let's call Archangel Michael. It's not going to happen. What you really want to do, you need to come to a decision. And you really need to make a life-changing decision exactly the way you said it, to, okay, let's do this. Because regular life, that's no longer interesting me. You know, I've done that. I've done that hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of times. But you know what I really want to do? I want to become an ascended master, or I want to really, you know, realize myself in all of its beauty and God self potential. I want to become enlightened. I want to achieve this. You know, when you start making those kind of decisions that you really want to push forward, and you start, you know, getting the resources for you to do it, actively start practicing, you know, to become the being that you want to be, then these higher beings can help you. A lot of people, they're kind of conditioned into just sitting back expecting the universal cosmic vending machine to just give them everything without ever lifting a finger or doing anything. That's not necessarily true. It is true on some levels, but when it comes to really undergoing that level of enlightenment, that has to come through individual practice and application. A lot of people would love to just call upon any said higher being and go, make me enlightened. And the thing is, unless you actually go through the process of firstly getting rid of all of those limitations, deconstructing all of those hindering thoughts and all those shackles and all of that stuff that's keeping you anchored, and actually start moving forward and then start practicing all the stuff that's going to reconstruct you into this really powerful higher being, then that change won't come. There has to be an application part of that. And that's something which I learned pretty quickly because in the very beginning when I first started meeting Archangel Uriel, I was one of those people who I was just like, okay, Archangel Uriel, that's it. You know, make me have telekinesis and all these ultra superpowers. No, I've met you. You're the one. You've got the ability to do this. And he said to me, he goes, look, everything I can give you will be utterly fruitless unless you go and develop into the God self that you can truly be. It's all about you becoming and you realizing your potential because that's what sticks with you on an interlife basis. We can, you know, develop all kind of other skills and abilities and make all this money and create all these fortunes, which, you know, you've pretty much done in over hundreds of lifetimes. You know, you've played that. You've played that into reality over so many lives that, okay, let's do something really important in this lifetime. Let's undergo God self-realization because that will stick with you. Every single time I've delved into a past lifetime and I've gone into my subconscious mind, I've come across the lifetimes where I've achieved something spiritually significant. I call them spiritual benchmarks. And that is the whole reason why Archangel Uriel introduced this whole system of 12 dimensions. Instead of looking at linear time as the benchmark of our lives, where, okay, it's 9 a.m. in the morning, we should be at work, all right, it's 5, time to get off work, all right, it's 7 o'clock, time to make dinner, oh, it's 10 o'clock, time to go to sleep. And, you know, by the time I'm 55, I want to retire, by the time I'm 85, I'll be happy if I'm still alive. But what you're not doing is going, okay, I've done those benchmarks before in the past. I've lived through that hundreds of times. The real benchmarks that you want to be looking at, the ones that truly exist on an interlife basis, the spiritual evolvement, the spiritual benchmarks, the sudden profound realizations. Every single time I've gone into a past life, I've come across lives where I've achieved something spiritually significant, as in I was undergoing something, I was meeting beings, I was doing something to, you know, make that lifetime stand apart from all the masses of the rest of them. And I would look into that lifetime and be like, wow, I was doing this and I was doing that and all these powerful things. And that process, that analytical process of my mind picking out the lifetimes that are spiritually significant is exactly how the 12 dimensions of the universe works, where you start at pure energetic substance, those building blocks, and you work your way through the first, second, we're currently in the third dimension, all the way up to the 12th dimension where you re-enter unconditional love again. All of those dimensions are benchmarked on spiritual evolvement, on spiritual realization. It's the true track of the soul throughout the universe. There's no point mapping your lives by time because, you know, if you start looking at 600 lifetimes later, you're like, okay, well, you know, you start seeing how time is more meaningless. And so this is when, you know, you start delving into the spiritual world. You're now setting yourself up to succeed. You're now creating a foundation to keep moving forward, to keep building up upon. Spirituality may be the one true thing that your soul takes with you on an interlife basis. You can make all the fortunes in the world, but that's going to be left behind. You can't take that with you. You know, even the pharaohs got it wrong. Just because you're buried with your gold doesn't mean you're actually going to take that with you either. What's going to happen is that when you undergo a powerful spiritual realization in your next lifetime, you're going to have that readily available. And for a lot of people out there, that's exactly what they're doing and feeling and thinking when they start reading accurate knowledge, when they start delving into, you know, certain books and texts and movies where they're like, oh, wow, hey, you know what? That actually exists. And you start resonating with it. You know, what does it mean when you resonate with something? It means that your soul knows that something as being true. How? Because you've already lived through the process of developing all the foundations for that piece of knowledge to be true. Never underwent it, you won't know it's true. So this is where, you know, I kind of say to people, especially the old souls out there, is feel your way through life. You may not be able to remember anything that you've done in the past, but your soul does. And the way your soul communicates through your body is through feeling.
Bingo. This brings us to a point where, you know, this feeling, okay, this becomes more constant as you make that application. And as we make that application and more of that limitation falls away, we start experiencing more of our presence, more of our light. And this is accelerated training. When you start really picking, you're like starting to pick up speed in what you're doing. That's why it becomes effortless, because you're actually accelerating in vibration. And this can kind of be likened to an airplane on the runway, picking up speed. When you're ready to take off, the path accelerates down the runway. And sooner or later, you trust the speed. You trust the presence. You trust this light, this current, this force that's coming through. It's going, yes, yes. Yes, I am doing this. I am doing this. And the presence moving through you. And this is like the current of wind. You don't quite see the wind, but you feel it. You feel it. And there is no denying that feeling. You can feel freedom's flame coming forth. And just when you have the correct balance of love, wisdom, and power within you, and you're trusting in everything, you qualify your takeoff in that moment of surrender, and you trust you are now in the air and flying freely. This is true flying. It's flying to your greater self. It's you're up out of what you thought life was into the reality of what life really is. And this can be likened to just the whole transcendence of life, what you think life is to what going into what life truly is. And on that note, unless you need to respond to it right away, I'd like to share another song. It's called Ready to Fly by 2002, if it's available.
Yeah, let's go forward. Sounds really great.
gosh, I just love that piece. That is Ready to Fly by 2002. And I think you can preview some of their music. That's from their new album called Believe, and you can see it on 2002music.com, or you can hear it, rather. So that really, actually, that song is really synonymous with what we were just talking about. I'm ready to fly, part of the sky, part of my dream creation.
Mm-hmm. Ready to take off.
Yeah, ready to take
ready
off.
Ready to start moving forward.
Yeah, now, you know, and I have another question for you. We've covered so much, and I'm just so grateful that they gave us an extra hour today. So thank you, BBS. Thank you. Because we had so much here, and I really feel like we were able to really convey what the Masters and the Archangels really have. They have more than just one hand in this collaboration. So it's like I see bunches of them. They're all, you know, we've gotten a lot of attention for this. And as a result, there's another question here that they're pointing me to that G wants me to see how you feel about sharing about this. I know we talked about it, and I think that there's a really wonderful thing that's happening when, you know, it's like we come into this self-realization and then we find out that there's more. It's like, you know, and I've been talking about in my series, you know, the three keys of victory, you know, well, now that we're free, you know, what does perfection look like? At least we know it doesn't contain mistakes. So, you know, love doesn't have any mistake. If it's pure love, it's unconditional love. How do we create like that? How do we, you know, transcend, you know, okay, so we transcend, we go from limitation to freedom. And now, okay, so we're creator. We can create as, you know, God-life beings. What does that really look like? And you wrote this fantastic article called, I think, is it, please correct me if I have the title incorrect, is it called The Six Levels of Truth?
That's it.
Okay.
Six
and
levels
that's,
of truth.
I mean, that's really, really magnificent. And I'd like to direct everyone listening to that article today if you want to mention it. It's on Sufjan's blog. But I'd like you to kind of go into that a little bit, if you wouldn't mind pointing out some of the highlights of it, because it talks about different levels of creation that are happening, I guess, simultaneously, and the potential for us as God beings, you know, what maybe we can look forward to and things that, you know, may inspire us to, you know, cross those thresholds and start accelerating or take on, you know, take on a discipline and say, yes, I'm going to do this and, you know, make that, you know, hardcore decision to really be staunch in moving forward with who we know we are.
So the interesting thing is, okay, this article, I wrote this pretty much, I was just spurred by this really great energetic shift. And once I started, I just couldn't stop. And for anyone out there who would like to read the full article, you can go onto my website, www.enlightenmentcity.com, or you can just type in Enlightenment City in Google, and it's on my blog, and it's called The Six Levels of Truth. Now, the beautiful thing about The Six Levels of Truth is that each and every single level of truth runs true in consciousness. It's just that for every single level that you move forward with, it builds up on the last. And the six levels of truth are basically a map, a conscious design that allows the human soul or any soul to be able to go through and understand more of who they are and what they're doing here in the universe. And for every single level that you kind of progress up towards, everything starts really becoming more all-encompassing. It starts, you know, really hitting true. You start feeling it, and you really, you know, basically evolve into this body of God by the time you finish, you know, extending yourself all the way up all these different levels of truth. Now, the first level of truth is what I would like to call conscious living. So this is when you get the people out there who have slightly awakened, and they are mindful of themselves and their activities, and you know, they may have delved into self-help, gone into a little bit of Eastern mysticism, and they're basically the awake and aware individuals out there who are in society, and they believe in themselves, and they believe they can help others. So this is just the first level of truth. You get all the different self-help mystics, all the different, you know, self-help gurus out there. That's the first level of truth, where they've kind of realized their potential out of just the sleeping passive consumer and into an individual who is now aware of themselves. That's the first level of truth. Quite a lot of them out there. Now, when you start progressing into the next level of truth, you become slightly more spiritual. You might start believing in reincarnation. You might start taking aboard concepts like, you know, going through life as you are a soul with a body, as opposed to a body with a soul. You start might going through into more of the in-depth spiritual concepts like the chakras and energy and meditation. And the next level of truth is really about the introduction of the spiritual world overlaid on top of being an individualized, self-aware, you know, human being. So in order to actually move into the next level of truth, this is when you start getting the people out there who have incorporated, you know, higher spiritual concepts. And they start wanting to live in creation, you know, they start hearing about, oh, what's enlightenment? What's ascension? What is unconditional love? How do I become that? And so they start trying to, I guess, live the onsets of higher realms of knowledge while here on earth. And they may even write about it, they may think about it, they may never even speak about it. But what they will do is comprehend it. They'll understand as, hey, that's what I should probably be doing. That's probably where I need to aim for. That's probably where I need to go right now. That's the third level too, where you start moving beyond just the, you know, wow, what's spirituality? And, you know, maybe I can start doing some really basic spiritual concepts to, hey, that's what I need to go for, all this alignment stuff. The next level of truth is when you start living those experiences into creation, where you're no longer just thinking about unconditional love and you're not just thinking about enlightenment as something you want to attain. You're actually living that level of enlightenment, level of unconditional love through your body. Your body starts mirroring these very high practices. You know, you become an ascending being. You start striving for enlightenment. You start becoming genuine to yourself. You start capping all these back doors and you really start pushing yourself upwards as a being of unconditional love. These are the people, when you start hitting this level, these are the people who start not just looking at God as some kind of supreme being out there. They start recognizing themselves as God. They start recognizing that their whole purpose for, you know, existence and creation is to live God into existence. All the multi-billions of different lives is all living the profound nature of God together. The very next level of truth that you can actually achieve even beyond that is when you start looking at the universe as a multiverse rather than one singular universe. Here in the single universe, we have a creator. We refer to him as God. And there are 12 dimensions that you can go into creation, get all the way to the top and go to unconditional love. But this next level, this fifth level, is all about accepting the nature of there being billions of creators out there who all have universes, who are all collectively working together as one, that there could be an even higher source, I term it grandfather source, who is the ultimate source who is creating other creators. We're living in creation to basically become even more creators that were all unified by this powerful perspective that we're all unconditional love, transcending life and creation together. And I only recently came across the sixth level of truth, where now I wasn't just believing in there being a whole bunch of creators out there and there just being, you know, a grandfather's source. I started understanding something called the creator level consciousness, where it wasn't just, oh, you know, we're all creators in creation and we're doing this so we can hit a creator once again. I started understanding that unconditional love was a whole plane of existence. If you were to go out, and if there was a pond in front of you, and you were to go tap the water on one side of the pond and send some ripples going to the left, and you run to the other side and you go tap the water and you send some ripples going over to the right, eventually, at somewhere in the middle of the pond, both of these ripples of energy would come together, and effectively, this is all symbolic, some form of precipitation, like a droplet, unconditional love formed as a result of these energetic fields that become a slightly different formed nature of unconditional love, but yet not 100% consistent with all the other unconditional love out there. That drop of unconditional love is beautifully symbolic of what creation is. We as creators in creation, we have come from the surrounding higher levels of unconditional love, and we are coming through into creation to become creators ourselves, to change the form of the unconditional love around us, to collaborate, to unify and become the true oneness of creation, to increase the frequency of this droplet of unconditional love back into its true energetic form. And when you achieve this high level of truth, we are not so much beings who are trying to learn how to become creators in creation, so much as are we unconditional love, individualized in creation, helping the creators unify this droplet of unconditional love back to its true and beautiful and energetic state. And every single level that we go through the truth, it's all correct. It's all true. It's just that for every level, we keep building up on the last level of truth and we keep going forward. No matter what level you are, no matter what you believe in, you can just keep going forward. Even if you ascend, there are levels out there that you can achieve that, you know, wouldn't ordinarily be available to you unless you got to those levels. And with the six levels of truth, you start thinking about the universe as one being, as this collective of creators, and that you are one of them. You're helping creation. And, you know, when you understand creation on this very, very powerful level, a really beautiful thing happens. You start transcending life itself because you are understanding the true nature for who you are and what you believe you're doing here.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a divine plan if I ever heard one. That's amazing. And I mean, that's just really, it's like I went through so many different multi-levels. I've been doing that lately. I've been calling everything the multiverse. Because, you know, as I'm more aware and conscious of my own multidimensionality, that's really always been here. It's just, I'm like more conscious of it now because it's like, oh, okay. Oh, that's right. I'm having a conversation over here and I'm doing something over there. It's just that what I do when, you know, I'm kind of like an all or nothing kind of person. So I like to, you know, give my full attention to something, you know, and not have anything else going on. So it's like when I'm writing an article, I can't really have music on. I need to just plug in and write. But when I'm creating something, you know, in graphics visually, then it's good to have music on for me. Then I can, you know, I can kind of transmit those, you know, emotions and stuff. But with, you know, conversations and communication, like I think communication and community is so important, you know, and to really, one of the things that came in recently is really active listening and, you know, being patient for the other. And it's learning how to really connect with each other on levels of, like you say, you know, feeling our way through. It's, you know, we need to start feeling together, feeling that love and, you know, recognizing that what, you know, appears less than love is not really real, but it needs to be, you know, transmuted in some way. It needs to be released. So if we can all, you know, do that, if we can get on the same page and start really holding space for each other, I think we'll accelerate pretty quickly and start creating, you know, bringing more of that through. We'll be able to accelerate to those levels, you know, like you wrote in that article. And again, for all of our listeners, we've got about now probably about a minute left. So I want to thank everyone today, and I want to thank Sufyan for coming back. This has been a marvelous show, and I'm really grateful for everyone tuning in. And everyone, you can check out Sufyan's article called The Six Levels of Truth on his blog, and it's on his website, enlightenmentcity.com. So Sufyan, do you have anything to add? Because we're going to wrap up.
Yeah. I'd just like to thank you once again for inviting me onto your show. This has been really, really, really great. For anyone who wants to read further in the principles, who wants to take it further, I've got a book out on Amazon called World of Archangels. And I'd just love to thank BBS Radio, you, Eve, for inviting me to your show and everybody who's been listening and tuning in today. It's been a really, really great time. I think we've really covered some, you know, great spiritual benchmarks in the show today too.
Me too. And I'm really grateful. And also, that book of yours is only 99 cents on Amazon. I mean, it's crazy. Take advantage of it. It's over, how many pages is it?
Over 200 pages long. And, you know, Archangel Uriel said 99 cents. And I'm like, all right.
Wow. Yeah. You know, Saint Germain told me to blaze this radio show free and keep the archives free too. So it's interesting. You know, we have another show at some point in the future with how they give us our prices. So let's wrap up with that. It's all about the love, though, because we're fulfilling and we feel fulfilled doing this work. So, you know, what greater abundance is there than that, right?
Exactly.
Thank you, everyone. We love you, and blessings and loving oneness. And we'll see you on the air next week.